truth for me. ShakeAndWakeRadio.com. National Liberty Alarm call live on ShakeAndWakeRadio.com. You can join us in the chat room at ShakeAndWakeRadio.com. And now, our fearless leader, John Darash and Gerard.
Okay, thank you, Rick. Everybody, welcome to NLA's weekly call. Today is Monday, January 12th, 2015. Boy, time is flying here. I am coming through here, right? Looks like I'm coming through.
Okay, I'd
like to read a short psalm, Psalm 14. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corruptors. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone astray. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. All right, I'd like to start off with a reading of something. It's a very short reading. Should only take a couple of minutes. It's Public Law 97-280 from October 4th. 1982. Someone called and shared this with me recently, and it's a joint resolution from the 97th Congress in 1982, and the President's response to it in 1983. Excuse me. Joint resolution authorizing and requesting the President to proclaim 1983 as the year of the Bible, whereas the Bible, the Word of God, has made a unique contribution in shaping the United States as a distinctive and blessed nation and people. Whereas deeply held religious convictions springing from the Holy Scriptures led to the early settlement of our nation. Whereas biblical teachings inspired concepts of civil governments that are contained in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution for the United States. Whereas many of our great national leaders among them, President Washington, Jackson, Lincoln, and Wilson paid tribute to the surpassing influence of the Bible in our country's development, as in the words of President Jackson, that the Bible is the rock on which our republic rests. Whereas the history of our nation clearly illustrates the value of voluntarily applying the teaching of the Scriptures in the lives of individuals, families, and societies. Whereas this nation now faces great challenges that will test this nation as it has never been tested before. And whereas that renewing our knowledge of the faith in God through Holy Scriptures can strengthen us as a nation and a people. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Senate and the House of Representatives of the United States of America, in Congress assembled, that the President is authorized and requested to designate 1983 as a National Year of the Bible, in recognition of both the formative influence of the Bible has been for our nation and our national need to study and apply the teaching of the Holy Scriptures. Approved October 4th, 1982. So, therefore, Congress, through this, again declares that the Bible is the Word of God. Now, on February 3rd, 1983, a proclamation, number 5018, by the President of the United States, Ronald Reagan, declared the Year of the Bible, 1983. And we read a proclamation. By the way, this is up on our front page right on the top. There's just the number of the law. You can click on it and read it. A proclamation by the President of the United States of America. Of the many influences that have shaped the United States of America into a distinctive nation and people, none may be said to be more fundamental and enduring than the Bible. Deep religious beliefs stemming from the Old and New Testament of the Bible inspired many of the early settlers of our country, providing them with the strength, character, and convictions and faith necessary to withstand great hardship and dangers in this new and rugged land. These shared beliefs helped forge a sense of common purpose among the widely dispersed colonies, a sense of community, which laid the foundation for the spirit of the nationhood that was to develop in later decades. The Bible and its teachings helped to form the basis for the Founding Fathers' abiding belief in the unalienable rights of the individual, rights which they found implicit in the Bible's teachings of the inherent worth and dignity of each individual. This same sense of man patterned the convictions of those who framed the English system of law inherited by our nation, as well as the ideal set forth in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. For centuries, the Bible's emphasis on compassion and love for our neighbor has inspired institutional and governmental expressions of benevolent outreach, such as private charity, the establishment of the schools, the hospitals, and abolition of slavery. Many of our greatest national leaders, among them President Washington, Jackson, Lincoln, and Wilson, have recognized the influence of the Bible on our country's development. The plain spokesman, Andrew Jackson, referred to the Bible no less than the rock in which our republic rests. Today, our beloved America, and indeed the world, is facing a decade of enormous challenges. As a people, we may well be tested, as we have seldom, if ever, have been tested before. We will need resources of spirit even more than resources of technology, education, and armaments. There could be no more fitting moment than now to reflect with gratitude, humility, and urgency upon the wisdom revealed to us in the writings that Abraham Lincoln called the best gift that God has ever given to man. But for it, we could not know right from wrong. The Congress of the United States, in recognition of the unique contribution of the Bible in shaping the history and character of this nation and so many of its citizens, has by the Senate Joint Resolution 165 authorized and requested the President to designate the year 1983 as the Year of the Bible. Now, therefore, I, Ronald Reagan, President of the United States of America, in recognition of the contributions and influences of the Bible on our republic and our people, do hereby proclaim 1983 the Year of the Bible in the United States. I encourage all citizens, each in his or her own way, to re-examine and rediscover the priceless and timeless message, in witness whereof I have hereto set my hand this third day of February in the year of our Lord, 1983, and of the independence of the United States of America, the 207th. Ronald Reagan. Okay, anyway, that resolution and that declaration by President Reagan, it's public law 97280, is found on our website. We posted a copy up there. People can take a look at it. Now, we also, let me open up this page here. We have up there a paper that we're getting out to the sheriffs, and it's the duty, ultimately it's the duty of the sheriff. We posted it up on our front page also, and I'm going to post something else shortly up on our front page we're going to talk about in a few minutes. But it's called The County Sheriff, By What Authority? Which is the name of this document. It's the document or the duty of the sheriff that we've been sending out. And we added a paragraph to this paper, and it's been reposted also not only here, well, for the first time here on our front page, but also on our mailing instruction page. We reposted this new document. Now, anybody who's printed out the document before, I mean, it's perfectly good. This just has another paragraph in it. So, of course, anything we've sent out is good, and anything people have printed out and want to put out, of course, is still good. But if you're going to print a new one, you should come up and get the new one. You know, if you're going to print more of these documents, you should come up and get the new one because, again, we did add one other item to it. And I think it's an important item. As a matter of fact, I know it's an important item, an extremely important item. And we added it on page 5. And it's 5 lines, and we titled it The County Jail. And it reads this way. The sheriff is responsible for the lawful implication of the county correctional facility and is therefore liable for any unlawful detention. Simply stated, an unlawful detention would be anyone held without a presentment or an indictment by the grand jury and then brought before a court of law to answer. This is their unalienable right protected by the Fifth Amendment. Town, villages, and city courts are not courts of law because they proceed according to statutes and not constitutions. And then I put right underneath this, part of the Fifth Amendment, no person shall be held to answer for a crime unless on a presentment or an indictment of a grand jury, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And then underneath that, a short piece of the U.S. decision in Kansas versus Dunnenmeyer, where we read, due process of law, this phrase is synonymous with, due course of law, this phrase is synonymous with due process of law, or law of the land. That means in its regular course of administration through courts of justice. And a court of justice can only be met and fulfilled in a court of record or a court of common law. A court of record and a court of common law are synonymous. And a court of common law and natural law, or shall I say common law and natural law, is synonymous. Okay, so that's what we added. So it's a little more the paragraph. I forgot that we did add the Fifth Amendment here and a little piece of it, and also we added a short cut-up out of the U.S. Decision. I think this gives the paper a little more power, and it really puts some weight on the sheriff. The sheriff has to now realize that he's holding people in that jail, and probably, I would say, without any hesitation, 99% of the people in county jails are probably held without due process of law. They're held without first going before. They're held to answer and to be to be punished in courts not of record without any kind of a presentment or an indictment by a grand jury. So I would venture to say a high 90s easily. And that puts a burden on the president, and it's going to be something we're going to press upon once we, the people, take back our nation and make America America again. Okay, a couple of things I want to discuss. We'll go through very quickly. It has gotten even worse than what we imagined out there in Colorado. But I think if I got it correctly, Let's see, Gary, did we get the seal back? Not we, but did our people in Colorado get the seal back for those people who went astray?
Yes.
That is the
Colorado,
word.
Those leaders that went astray, they did demonstrate honor. They returned the state seal. They've also returned any returned mail so that the mailing will be able to proceed uninterrupted.
Okay, so we're very thankful that they did the honorable thing on that. We salute them for that, and we appreciate that. And but, you know, it has become a little more disturbing from another perspective because they have now revealed their secret that they've been holding. At least I perceive this as their secret. They had something that they were preparing and doing, and they didn't want to discuss it in public until they executed it. You know, we have some things we're doing here on a national level. We've been very honest with everybody. We tell them we can't talk about it. It doesn't make any sense to talk about it because we don't want the enemy, so to speak, to know what we're doing until we've done it. And of course, that's
gentlemen, Barack Obama is now under arrest. They're leading him and all of Congress out of the...
Right, in our fantasies, maybe.
One day we'll hear that.
Yeah, in our fantasies. But we will hear that one day, hopefully. I think it'll happen differently, but we'll not go there. Right now, let's focus in on getting there. But anyway... if I'm correct in what they were hiding and holding off, I spoke with them, and it's in the tape for anybody who listened to it up under the Colorado debacle. They did not want to share with us on a national level what it was that they were doing. We can't have that. There is only one plan. If people really have something that is so powerful and so strong and so important that maybe we need to execute it, they need to do one of two things. They need to let us know in a Monday night meeting or get us that they would need to talk to us about something that is extremely important that may be advantageous to we as a people in order to get our nation back. Or they can try to get me during the week. You know, I'm achievable. Some people, they say they can't get a hold of me. And sometimes I am hard to get a hold of. I'm not going to debate that point. Generally speaking, I am here as often as possible. But, you know, there is Gary Jolly. He's the national leader. His name and number is up there. And his email. So, you know, if you really can't get through to me, you can get through to Gary. Gary usually can get to me also eventually. And there's also Gerard, of course. And people have his name and number and his email address. I can be gotten to. If it's really that important, I can be gotten to within that day, if it's that important. Or just try me every so often, and you will get me. Usually in a day, if you just try me every few hours. But if that doesn't work the next day, within 2 days, I'm sure you'll get me that way. Because sometimes I'm away from my computer, and obviously I cannot receive messages. I get too many calls to receive messages because I can't return them. I'll be spending all day returning calls. I'm just not going to do that. Same thing with email, you know, short messages, short blurps to get me informed on something is good. Copying others if it will be helpful also, like Gerard or even Gary. But even that, you know, if it's a long-winded email, rest assured, I have not read it. You know, people get upset because I don't read the email. They say, oh, I sent you all this stuff and all this, but I haven't got the time to read through long emails. If it's something really extremely important, you need to get a hold of me or someone and let us know and give us an idea. We'll talk about it. And then if you want to write it up in an email, then we can look for it. If it's that important, we'll look for it. But in any event, we can't have two different plans. We can't have, obviously, 50 different plans. The plans that we have foiled, so to speak, when people go in different directions, are plans where we do not want to go. And we don't want to go there is because I personally, me, I do not want to go to jail. What's going on in Colorado, I wish they would pay attention to us. I wish they would listen to us. And then these are no longer our people because we've cut them off and they're doing their own thing through another group, which they had been doing work with anyway. And I think this stuff is coming out from that group. The person who is leading this whole thing, if I'm correct, Gary will correct me if I'm in error, that person was not a member of National Liberty Alliance, yet he was very much involved, and he was the designer and founder of the plan. And him not being a member of National Liberty Alliance, clearly he didn't have an understanding of what it is that we were doing. He didn't listen to us or pay attention on a national level to be known that what he was doing is not what we want to do at all. And what he was doing is something that will put people in jail. And this is moving us to put a disclaimer on the front page. On our front page right now, we have two disclaimers on the far right side of the paper. One is hybrid papers disclaimer. The other one is a press release disclaimer. And we also had to put on our front page on the top, we are not part of the sovereign citizen movement. And right there with that, right underneath that, we're going to put a further disclaimer, something that's going to read something like this, and I'm not sure exactly how it's going to come out yet, but basically that we do not teach or encourage or assist people to get involved or to learn to do bills of exchange. We do not, nor do we teach redeeming and discharging through their through people's sescu accounts, trust accounts, or get involved
violence.
In commercial liens, excuse me, or get involved in commercial liens. We don't do any of those things. Now, I understand there is an individual that was trying to move on a national level. I was totally unaware of him, a citizen's grand jury. And I don't know exactly how he constructed things, but I heard it had nothing to do with any way that we have constructed it. We are not building grand juries. We are building administrations for grand juries. But in any event, I'm trying to think of this guy's name. I heard that he ended up in jail. And the main reason that he ended up in jail is because of commercial liens or playing around with sescu accounts and doing silly things, which we, the people, under the authority and duty of the grand jury, have no business applying whatsoever. We have no business applying. Our business is to consider things that are unlawful and correct them if possible through what's called bills of information or just communications if they'll listen to us in a communication, but if not, bills of information. And eventually, again, if they continue to still not do the right thing, we then go forward with a presentment. Doubtful if the prosecutor will bring anything before us to call it a an indictment, but any event, a presentment and an indictment is one and the same. The only difference is a presentment is that which comes up from the jury itself. An indictment is one where the prosecutor brings it before the grand jury. And I would presume that if the sheriff brought it before the grand jury, that would be called an indictment also. Which, by the way, logic prevails in this statement I'm going to make. But also history, what I have found in history supports it. Not what I see in the history of the way America has been going in the courtrooms, the things that we have been seeing, the way they do things now, not that history, but the history of the sheriff particularly shows it. When an individual is arrested, well, who is going to do the arresting? Prior to the corporate police, it was the sheriff and his deputies, period. So they would do the arresting. And it would be the sheriff that would bring the person before the grand jury and bring the charges before the grand jury. And it would be the grand jury to decide as quickly as possible whether that person needs to answer for the crime, of course not saying that they're guilty, but to answer to the charges. That would be the arraignment. The arraignment comes after the indictment. Of course, they work the indictment first. I mean, the arraignment first, and then they don't even bother with the indictment. Then why use the indictment? I mean, heck, we already did the arraignment, and they've given us jurisdiction, and of course, they moved it into a foreign court, and that's a whole new story. But in any event, that is the norm. How often could you see for a prosecutor to bring his or her case before the grand jury? I mean, it would have to be something that the government sees from its perspective and wants to do something to bring charges against somebody in some way. Certainly they can't do that with code enforcement. It's got to be a crime. And certainly the sheriff can't get involved in statutes and code enforcement. It's got to be a crime. And then the only other way, there's two other ways where something is brought before the grand jury, and that's if the investigative body of the grand jury itself, which would be the administration that we're constructing across the nation, if they were to bring charges against somebody on behalf of the people and or The fourth way would be the people themselves. If people who are educated in a certain area, or shall I say informed in a certain area through their own investigation, whether it be one person, two or three or four people, investigating something and has found and uncovered something that the grand jury needs to hear, and they bring it to the administration, and if these people have already done the investigation, then clearly why waste our time in going and investigating when we have the people? This is their grand jury. This is their court. We are a people by the people. So we can make arrangements so that group of people or one person or whatever it is to bring their concerns before the grand jury, which is their right to do and our duty to comply to. And they can bring it before the grand jury, and the grand jury can decide. Of course, we have to prepare that grand jury, and we prepare them by freeing them, letting them know that this decision is all theirs. They have to figure things out, that they have to use their logic, and they have to work with a sense of justice and honor and mercy, and also with the two maxims that we teach, and just prepare them, and you know, getting 8 hours, we can give them quite a bit of an education, preparing them for you know, their duty as jurists, whether it be a grand jury or a trial jury. So all that said, that is it. That's the way people are brought before a grand jury and eventually gets before a trial jury. Now, what makes me sick to my stomach is these prosecutors who think that they're God, these prosecutors who can indict a ham sandwich, these prosecutors who deny the will of the people, who make the decision of a political animal who is who has a bar-structured mind, not even an American mindset. They get to decide who is going to go before the grand jury and who isn't, and they're going to indict anyone who tries to get to the people, get to their own grand jury. They indict them. Who are these people? Who do they think they are? Also, working in conjunction with the judge, how can any of them ever be brought before justice? With all the crimes that these people in courts commit, with all the money filthy lucre that these people earn, and in the process of injustice in our courts that should have been called courts of justice, which now are courts of iniquity from my perspective. But we're going to change that. That's why we're here. That's our job. It's our duty. So we have to, of course, make these changes and so on. Now, we heard a tape today of the people that are now broken away from us down in Colorado, and it was brought to my attention. I have not had the opportunity to listen to all the tape yet. I only listened to the first 14 minutes. I was told I'll just listen to the first four or five, and I'd see what they're doing. I was extremely alarmed, extremely alarmed. This was so close to being done in the name of we the people under the Unified Common Law Grand Jury of Colorado, particularly. The Unified Colorado Common Law Grand Jury. This was about to be done under their name. Now, they don't see anything wrong with this, but they have not investigated this, nor researched it, nor to understand what has been going on in the nation with other people using these things. They think they've discovered something. They sucked up poison on websites that are out there, which are mixed with a lot of truth and just a lot of lies, which trap the people, and people end up in jail, while they tell the people that they're making all such great successes. They're filling their pockets up with money, and things are going great. You could do it too. Yeah, you'll get a jail cell right next door to these people. I personally think that some of these people out there have been seeding these websites with all this garbage in order to put people in jail so that they proceed on these things. But I want to ask people one question. If we're trying to get rid of fiction, which we believe is evil and has no place in American society, if we're trying to do that, how do you get rid of evil with evil? How do you use their system to get rid of them? How do you line your pockets with money and to suck off their process? And what do you do with that money? And for what purpose? What does it solve? What does it do? It doesn't do anything. It just gets money into the pockets of people. But anyway, what they have done basically has filed bills of exchanges and has already, I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Gary, you heard it more than I have so far. They have filed they have created the bills of exchanges, and they've already delivered it to the banks.
Bills of attainder.
No, bills of exchanges.
It's exchange.
So correct. Am I correct in that statement, Gary? Bills of exchange.
Yeah, I heard exchanges? It as bills of exchange.
Yeah, bills of exchange. But we'll go and take a better look at that. But in any event, these bills are commercial bills that they claim that they get through their SESQ accounts, and they're writing off debt, and they're doing it under the grand jury. I pray to God that they're not using the word common law grand jury. We are going to get a disclaimer up on our website to make
sure. I don't know that they're saying that it's the grand jury. They're going after them on their oaths because there's a commercial part to the oath where you're supposed to put money up.
Did you listen to all of it?
Yeah, I listened a little further, and they're claiming it's not for the money, that they want to remove these people, and this is a process. Now, what I will say is, They are changing their language. They believe that by their language, and this is something that it's not a illegal process, these bills of attainder against the oaths. But you got to be very careful, and this is what anytime you get into their money, that's what got Lincoln killed and Kennedy. Anytime they think that you're going to get into their money, they get vicious. This gets into their money, so to speak. You know what I mean? They don't want anybody sucking out of SESQ accounts except for themselves. You know what I mean? So
right.
They think that because they have cleaned up the language, it might work. And look, I wouldn't say it's going to work, not going to work, or that they're going to go to jail. Look, if the time is right and they're feeling pressure, even our pressure, see, they can ride in with something like this on our coattails and actually maybe even be successful. I don't know. We're not going to say that because we're not going to eat crow if all of a sudden something breaks loose and they're successful. It's just that we feel that it's way too risky for what you're going to gain, and you could go to jail. So it's not someplace where we want to be. We're not familiar with it. We're not comfortable with it.
I've seen two groups. Two small groups of people who have done this with liens on judges because of their oaths, because of their disobedience to the people through the disobedience to the Constitution, so on. Two small groups. One group, which I think is not too long ago, and they may end up in jail, and the other one did go to jail. And, the huge amounts of money, they're not interested in hundreds of thousands of dollars. They're not even interested in millions of dollars. They go in after billions of dollars. And what are they anticipating to do with this money in the first place? Look, there is something that the people can do at some point, at a certain point, on behalf of the people, but we're not even going to go there or talk
not
about
only
it.
That, they're broke, oh, really. There's no money there. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's all debt they're collecting. But you can turn
money.
Debt into gold still, so it does become money.
And that was Randy Lee and John Quaid that set up these courts, and they went to jail. And you know, doing a outside the court. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I guess you're familiar with that. Yeah, you probably did read it with me also at the time. It was a while back we looked at it. But anyway, if they wanted to shut us down, that is the perfect way to shut us down. They could take out, they could say this is what the National is teaching the people to do. And look at, they put Schiff in jail, and he's still in jail, and he's been in there for quite a few years now. And they put him in jail for teaching people how to not pay taxes, okay? They want to try to get people and put people in jail, so they claim, for teaching people how to mail 3-cent stamps, okay? But what they're doing on that one is they're doing not for teaching that, but for selling it. That's what they're selling the information. But even that, they're not really putting people in jail for, but they've already tested the water by making those statements that they would. They put people in jail for practically nothing these days. And so I can picture them doing that if they wanted to silence people, if people are selling that kind of stuff. But anyway, this is something we caught at the right time. It prevented us from really getting involved in something without knowing about it until it happened. I mean, goodness, if we weren't paying attention, these let me go look at this. What were they called?
Bill of
No, it's not that. It's
Bill of exchange.
Bill of exchange. Yeah, because it's exchange ultimately through this SQ account for debt. So they're exchanging debt for funds in their quote-unquote SESQ account. And so if we weren't paying attention and we didn't pick up on this, and they did it, they filed it in the banks. From what the statements they made today was, it's been filed in the banks. Now, if that was done under the name and under the seal, we'd all have some hell to pay on that. It would be a real problem, I don't even want to go where it would go. It just, I believe, would have really struck something in our heart, a stake in our heart. Now, therefore, I'm going to talk with some people. I don't want to get too radical on this, but I have had it with state coordinators who think that there's some kind of an authority who wants to take the people to a different direction, who want to take the people's, get the emails and solicit them for all different things. I've had it with these people. I have totally had it. And this isn't the first time, it's not the second time, it's not the third time. This is a battle we've been battling now for 6 months. And we've been talking about it from time to time when its ugly head raises up, and we got to cut it off. And two times we put papers specifically towards the leadership of certain states, for two states doing two different things. But there's been others, but we caught them early enough, and of course, they called me a dictator and all the other stuff because we caught them using our, group or organization, whatever you want to call us. I don't know what you want to call us because ultimately we are just a facilitator. But for a while, we are an organization. We are sort of a group, in a sense, trying to lead people, the people, into an educated state and to bring them to a place in their own counties where they can actually stand up and take control as the people, under their own authority, as the people, teaching others to do the same, not being controlled by other people. And so National Liberty Alliance has no desire to control the people. But it is true, until we get where we're going, it's our plan. And you're either on board with it or you're not. And if you're not on board with it, God bless you. Create your own plan. Do what you want to do. But don't sabotage our plan. Don't sabotage the work that we have struggled and worked for so long to put this together and to get to the point where we're at. Be honorable and just go do your own thing somewhere else. And that's that. That's all I have to say. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to talk with some people. I'm going to make something as simple as possible. But there's going to be a contract between the National Liberty Alliance and the state coordinators. It's going to be a very simple thing. It's going to be about honor and justice, and it's going to be ultimately almost like the vow, but it's an agreement of what they can do, and I'll be very clear on it. I'm not sure exactly how we're going to write it, but I do want to make it as short as possible. But as long as they're working with us, they're not to use our meetings created for the purpose of bringing the people together in their state to bring them into the plan and to try to bring them into power. They're not to use those meetings to benefit themselves and their own movements and their own thoughts and bring in all these commercial things and things that are going to get people in trouble. That has got to stop. And the only way I can see stopping it is if we write it down and people sign it. Okay? They can do whatever they please, though, on their own personal lives. They can pursue the commercial stuff. They can do, I know there's a lot of people with us that do that. And I hope they can do well, and I hope they keep themselves out of trouble. I hope they can cross their T's and dot their I's and all that other stuff. I really do. But don't bring it into the National Liberty Alliance. And these people don't. They do it in their own business, in their own time, and they may share it with a few people, and they come in together, so they are people, maybe a couple of them working together, but they don't bring it into the business of National Liberty Alliance, and that's fine. They're free to do whatever they want. It's none of my business to get into their business. But once they use the name, once they use the seal, once they use National Liberty Alliance, once they use a unified common law grand jury with whatever state or county or whatever it is, once they use those names, now it becomes a problem for all of us. So we have to stop that. Did you want to add something, Gerard?
What I wanted to say is, look, even if they're doing something that's not going to get them in trouble, and let's say they are successful, but they didn't run it by us, and we have no idea what they're doing, we can't even talk about it. We can't look at, they're coming in using our stuff, our name, and then they'll say, oh, what's with this? Well, we don't know. They went off and did it by themselves. The honorable thing would be is if they had something they thought was good that they wanted us to take, then we would do it. But if we're not, just like you said, we don't tell anybody who's an Oath Keepers. Let's say Oath Keepers want to do something, and you're an Oath Keepers and you're in NLA. You can go ahead and do it because Oath Keepers is not coming in and saying, we're the common law grand jury. We're this. Look, if we were like the cops and those guys were pretending that they are impersonating us. They look like us. Their papers look like us. And it's very hard to separate us. So that's a problem. Whether they're successful or they're not successful, they shouldn't be coming in as us. Because we're going to feel stupid when they're asking us questions and we don't even know what they did. Let's say they were successful. You know, we don't know what they did. They shouldn't look like us. They should keep a separation. Like John says, God bless them if they get in, because that'll be another cut in 1,000 cuts. Or maybe it'll be the thing, I hope, I pray, that somebody gets in. We don't care who gets there. We just want to get there. But we have to do it right. When you're part of this group, this club, you can't be looking like us and doing something else that we have no idea that we can't defend. We have to defend everything that's done in our name, because we owe that to everybody who signs into National Liberty Alliance. We can't be doing things that are gonna taint the whole group. Just like we had that fight the other night where they said, oh, this guy and this group and that group and the Muslims and the these secret societies. That's how fast they'll attach it to us, good, bad, or indifferent. We got to keep this thing professional. We got to keep it clean. And certainly the people on top should know what everybody in the states are doing, because, you know, that doesn't look good if we don't know and we don't keep track of that. That's our duty to do that. I yield.
And John, we've also gotten some replies from judges that's blending other statements in answer to some of our filings that are mixed with some of this citizens grand jury groups and other sovereign group movement lingo that appears to be inadvertent, let alone those that are deliberately trying to imitate and, you know, patter after us. I'll yield.
Okay, thank you. All right, so anyway, that kind of brings us to end to that point. Commercial liens and redeeming and discharging debt through CESQ accounts, writing bills of exchange for debt and delivering them to the banks, writing off the exchange of debt through the CESQ accounts and then delivering it to the bank for funds. I understand they haven't been paid on them yet, but they're there for potential payment, and the banks haven't sent them back, at least not yet. I don't think the banks will send them back. I think the banks will send them to the feds, to the Treasury Department, and they're going to get a Treasury Department, a visit from the Treasury Department. That's what I think is going to happen. And usually, you know, we had someone connected with us quite some time ago from another state who had did this, and they wrote up the bill. And they sent they set it in for debt, and they got paid on it. It was over $100,000. I think it might have been close to $200,000, but it was over $100,000. And they actually got the check, and they actually cashed the check, and he actually went out and paid all his bills and paid off his mortgage and did all kinds of stuff. And 30 days after the check was cashed, they raided his house. He was arrested. Right now he was let out on bail or something, and then he happened to not be home when they decided to recapture him, and he happened to not be home that night, and so they raided his house again with his wife and his children there, and that's a debacle on its own. That's a horror and hell that nobody wants to put any of their children and their spouse under. And be dragged away in chains under gunpoint with all these crazy cops coming in with bulletproof vests. And just, you know, it's insane. It's insane. But in any event, this is what happened to him. The second time they came, he wasn't home. So he heard that they came, and this was a while ago. And since then, he's been on the run. I don't know if he's ever given himself back up or if he's... was caught and arrested or what, but I haven't heard anything, and this is well over about 6 months ago, maybe more. I don't know. It's a while ago. So I'm not messing with this stuff. I'm choosing my battles very carefully. My battles are in the courtroom. My battles are on the record. My battles are going right to the enemy themselves in law and putting it in their face. And this is where the real war is right here. This is where we're going right to them, right to them. We're going into our courts. We're calling them, we're letting them know that they're running the statutory courts. These are supposed to be courts of record. It says so here, and it says so there, and it says so over here, you know. Whether you go into your state constitution, the U.S. Constitution, or even Supreme Court rulings. These are courts of law. These are common law courts. These are courts of record. And so that's why they have such a big problem with us, because they can't figure a way to get out from underneath what we're doing and what we're saying. And everything we're doing, we're always under that protection. You know, give us another year, and if America is still here, and if we don't, if we didn't continue this path and didn't succeed, and we were doing this a year from now or 6 months from now when they're ready to really close the doors and we did this, they may just come out and arrest us because, hey, what the heck? You know, nobody can do anything about it anyway. Look at what you could have done stuff in the 80s or the 90s that you would never have gotten arrested for, but today they'll arrest you in a heartbeat, okay? So we are at that end. We are at the time we do or die. We're going to do it, or we're not going to do it. And if we're not going to do it, you're not going to be able to do it a year from now if by then we're not fully under the heel of tyranny in its worst case scenario, worse than Hitler, or worse than anything in history. That's where we're heading. Okay, one other thing I want to cover, and that is a new plan on contact. We haven't worked out the details yet. Gary, do you think we should talk about this now? I don't see any problem with it.
Well, no, not yet, John. I have a little wrinkle to throw at you based on
okay.
new information then received today.
We won't bring it up.
It's just a wrinkle.
Okay.
And we can discuss
okay.
it later.
Well, and then maybe next Monday we'll reveal that. That was my last item for the evening. So with that, I guess we'll open up the phones. But what I'm going to do is this. I'm looking for, see if you can find Eric out there from New York, somebody. I want to take Eric from New York first. He's with the Courtroom Observers. He wants to make an announcement. Those who don't know about the Courtroom Observers, go to National Liberty Alliance, highlight group, and come down and click Courtroom Observers.
I think
Observers
New York Eric's at the bottom of the queue.
New York Eric.
He's at the bottom of the queue, and I think you can click his question bubble and engage him.
Yeah, what happened is you can't scroll down the queue. It wants to push itself back up. Find him in the body somewhere. Maybe let me try hitting the callers' names and putting things in order.
I'm here. You got me unmuted, I think.
Okay, you're here. Before you go, before you take the mic, just give me a second. I want to just make another point here. What I'm going to do, since we're going to put back the free conference call phone back on our Monday night page, okay? And therefore, people who have some problems calling in with their phones, or maybe they've got cell phones, maybe they've got limited calls, maybe, or whatever, and they don't maybe have a Skype phone, they can call in on the HD phone, which all they have to do is actually click the phone right on our site and then fill out the information and then come right into the conference. But bear in mind, and we'll put a note out there with this phone, if you use the HD phone, which works through your browser, and some people may remember that have used it, but some maybe not don't know about it. But once we put it out there, we'll put in the instructions. Just make sure that if you come in off of that phone, that you disconnect yourself from that page, because you'll hear the radio broadcast that's streaming of our meeting on our page, and also hear us on the HD telephone out of your browser. Maybe I'll be able to set it up where you click on that and you'll appear on a different page. Maybe that's what I'll do. But we'll see what we'll do with that. Meanwhile, Eric, you got the mic.
Yeah, thanks, John. I just wanted to remind everybody that if you're within a couple hours of Maryland, Central Maryland, anybody in D.C., Virginia, or Maryland should be helping out Richard Reinheimer, who's our state coordinator in Maryland, and he's got a very important case on Friday.
I'd like to second that. Anybody who can get to that particular case, even traveling, it's a worthwhile case to get to, and
exactly.
you know, and he really does deserve our help. He has done an extreme amount of work here at National Liberty Alliance. His state has exceeded all the other states within our group and has completed all of the tasks far quicker than we even asked him. They're really way beyond that. So he deserves our help, and we should get out there if we can, if we're not too far. Let's get to that,
yes.
Case. Go ahead.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, even if it's a couple hours, make the drive, people. This is a big one. They're getting him in there. He's getting screwed on so many different levels. I probably can't even get into it now, but I'm going to write a little extra something on the blog, a serious kind of rundown of what's been done to him. I mean, they're trying to get their hands on his nice piece of land. His neighbors want to put him out of business because he's the best bed and breakfast in the county. And this whole collusion of things, they're just absolutely screwing him over, set up around every corner. So he needs help. The bottom line thing that's going to help him is having people there with cameras and with pens and paper. And so people, please get there. It's on 8:30 in the morning on January 16th. They're starting to get people early, hoping that it's going to be, you know, difficult for people to show up. But get there if you can. It's at 100 Courthouse Square in Centerville, Maryland. Centre, Centerville. So I hope everybody will help Richard that's anywhere in that area. And then Jason, I think our New Jersey coordinator, Jason, chime in later if the details are wrong, but Jason got postponed until Tuesday tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. in Jersey City. So anybody that could get back down there, they're also pulled, the courts are trying to pull this trick where they, you know, they, if you come with courtroom observers, you're ready for your trial or your case, and then all of a sudden they postpone it until the next week, hoping that, you know, everybody won't show up again the next week. So try to be determined, people, and make the multiple trips. It's what we got to go through now to help each other out. And so, having victories here. We got cameras back in the courtrooms in New York, and things are going on that are definitely, people don't see the victories. Our victories don't get announced, everybody. They don't get a press release. They don't get run on TV. You don't hear anything on the radio about it, but they're taking place. Trust me, I've seen a bunch of them. Even Richard, who's going through this case, had several victories against the system, and that's why they're persecuting him. So, you know, the flag is always heaviest when you're right over the target, and that's where we are right now. So stay on focus, people, and please, no complaints to John. He's got so much to do. If anybody had any complaints, you're not doing this, you're not doing enough of that, you're not doing that right, why can't I get this? Call here's the number for the complaint department for the National Liberty Alliance. 585-730-9220. That's the complaint department. Call that number, and we'll be happy to take all of your complaints there. But when you're with John, please stay on focus on business, NLA business, and keep your personal cases on a personal call, just NLA business on a conference call. And I think you'll agree with that one, John.
Yeah, I do. Thank you, Eric.
Yep, take care.
Anything else? Okay, thanks.
No, I do it on my end. Chime back in. Give me a shout if you need me.
Okay. All right. We also have some things working. I don't know. Maybe you can mute Eric now. And if anyone can find Sheila from Orange County here in New York. So it's Sheila from Orange, I think we have her listed as. Or Sheila from New York. If she wants to talk concerning things that are going on with our other group that we have, which is, again, under groups, a National Liberty Alliance under group, highlight group. And you will find media campaign group. So maybe she wants to share some things about what's going there. I do know we have some posters that I have got to get out. It appears at this point we don't have a way on the mass mailing through our website to attach a file. So what we're going to do is I will take the file and I'll send it through my software. I have software, and I'll load up the latest emails, update all the emails in that, and do a mass email to everyone that would be interested in these posters. And they're small posters, you know, they're, 8.5 by 11, I guess it is, a regular page size. But the font is large, where we would put them inside our cars facing out, and people would read them. And they're very short messages. We did speak about this, I think it was last Monday. But again, I'll get that information out as soon as I can. Anybody who's not involved with the media campaign, everybody should be involved with the media campaign. Even if you don't go to the meetings, that's fine. Just keep up to date, check on the page once in a while, and you'll see things that maybe you can do. You can check in on tweeting and see what they're doing on tweeting, and maybe you could do some tweeting on behalf of we the people to get our message out. Maybe you're a Facebook person. Maybe you do a lot of stuff on Facebook. Check in on Facebook. Check in on our page to see what's going on with Facebook messages that you can get out on Facebook. Check in on our email page. We have messages that go out on emails. Maybe a message you might want to post at the bottom of every one of your emails. This is the way we have to get the word out. So everybody should be involved in getting the word out in one way or another. You can print these flyers and hand them out. We have other flyers up there that can be printed and handed out. They're working on all kinds of ideas there. You can get involved in brainstorming with them and or just pick up the ideas, the conclusions of their ideas, and run with them, which is what everyone should be doing. Is Sheila here? Is there any comment
yes.
you want to make? Yeah, go right ahead.
Hi, John. Thank you for that. That's really it in a nutshell, is that we do welcome all, Charles and I. He is the new co-director, Charles Rodriguez, and we are having a meeting tomorrow night, Tuesday. It's being up till 7:30 p.m. as opposed to
Did I make the change
eight.
On the other site yet?
No, but
okay, I'll try to remember
enough.
To get out there and do that. And by the way, we're going to be closing down the other site because everything we would do, we were using that site especially for mailing and things of that nature and reminders. Well, now we got everything going on this site, so we don't need that site. So we're going to close down the meetup, and we'll be doing that very shortly. I'll make the announcement over there and see what kind of feedback I get, and then we're probably going to close it down. But unless we get a huge number of people saying no, we are going to close it down. But go ahead, Sheila. I'm sorry for interrupting you.
That's okay. Right now, I don't know if you or Gerard received my information for the blog site that I sent. Yours always bounce back, John.
Well, email. What you're not, you're not getting a bounce back. What you're getting, I set up an autoresponder on my email. You know, I have my own, all the domains are, you know, I own the domains, so I'm able to get in and set up autoresponders. And so whenever anybody gets an email, people are misunderstanding the autoresponder. When they send me an email, you automatically get an email back from me saying that I received your email. And then I say in it, if you are soliciting me or you have me on an email list, please remove me from those lists, because I don't want to be on an email list where people are sending emails to 20 people or 100 people. I don't have the time to be on those email lists. So I am, that's what that autoresponder is about. Also, I get a lot of solicitation, and sometimes the solicitation is coming from an individual or it's coming from whoever it's coming from. It doesn't matter. So it's a response back to them is, please remove me from their list. That has tremendously helped me by keeping that autoresponder on. I put that autoresponder on months ago, many months ago, for a couple of weeks to a month, and it hugely reduced my email. Then I shut it off, and then all of a sudden, you know, over time, it became large again, and I just can't get through my email. So I turned the autoresponder back on. And now my email is reducing. So I'm leaving that on. Just read the message. The email's getting to me. It's just telling you, I got your email, but if I am on a list, if you're soliciting me, or if you are having me on a email mailing list, just remove me. My email
right,
is personal communications. You write me an email because you want me to know something or get something to me, and I get the message, and hopefully I'm able to read it because it's not too long. Onto it in some way, time permitting. And that's why copying Gerard or even Gary, if it's necessary, in order to get a response on the national level, because sometimes I just am too overwhelmed. But go ahead.
Yeah, I understand. Well, I did do that. You can check into your email. And also, we're just going to be bringing up some issues tomorrow. Charles will be co-hosting the meeting. He's very well educated and skilled regarding social networking. So we're just asking everyone to just come over, even if you don't come to the meeting. Like John said, just come over to media. You'll see Twitter phrases. You'll see Facebook slogans. You'll see just some material you can use each and every day, you know, just to or leave a link somewhere. So I'm just asking everyone if you can come out to the meeting. We would love to have you. And if not, just please participate because this is our duty to get National Liberty Alliance spread across the nation because, you know, that's the only way we're going to save us. So everyone has to take that part of NLA very serious. And that's it, John. I yield.
Okay, thank you, Sheila.
You're
all right.
Hey, John.
Okay. Yeah, you can remute Sheila, whoever unmuted her. But go ahead, Gerard.
I don't know if you want to take this now, but I do have a question in the text chat, and I know you'll want to answer this.
Oh, what are you over at the radio?
Yeah, she just texted it over on my Skype,
okay.
Which is kind of cool.
Yep.
John, listen now. Listen to this because this is kind of pertinent to what we're doing. And obviously, this person has a question. How is it lawful for us in the NLA to send out Corwantos where under the federal rules of criminal procedure enacted in the 1940s, these were considered obsolete? And many states, that is to say, in my state, Massachusetts, New York State, adopted the federal rules, thus also abolishing the Corwanto. Now, I know you're going to want to jump in there. I know I could, but go ahead.
Yeah, you know, look, at America runs on fiction. That's the quick answer. We're told people by these people who are not legislators, it's not legislated anywhere to begin with, first off. Second off, if they did legislate such a thing, it's null and void because it's repugnant to the Constitution. They don't want a quo warranto. They don't want any of the paperwork that we use, the different things that we do, mandamus and so on. They don't want these things because they've been done away with. Why? Because they don't want to be bothered with us little people. They don't want the king to actually wake up one day and realize he's a king and start writing some papers and kick their butt. That's what they don't want. And so they make these things up. Back in 1939 and 38, they were trying to make a move, and they were saying, hey, you know, grand juries, they've been done away with, or the common law has been done away with. And they even tried to move in, I don't know, it was 39 or 49, I think it was 1949 here in New York, there was a big convention, and they moved us towards getting rid of the grand juries. And by the grace of God, there was enough resistance that actually turned that whole thing around and fixed inside of our New York State Constitution a much more powerful statement concerning the grand jury that they will never be abolished. And yet, they turn around and they play games with this, claiming that we the people don't have the authority or the power. So all that's a pack of lies. I am so... I'm blown away by, you know, as my studies continue and I read the Constitution often, I'll tell you what, I probably look at my Constitution as often as I look at my Bible, and I do look at my Bible a few times a day. But I'm always going back into the Constitution. Something comes up here, and I want to go read it again and look at this and see what it said there. And, you know, did it bring you or something I missed somewhere? And I'm just blown away to realize that 99%, and I don't think that that's an exaggeration at all. I'm going to repeat that number. 99% of what America is operating on under what they claim is law is no law at all. It's all fiction. It's BS. It is enslaving us. It is destructiveness to the Constitution. So they can write all the papers they want. They can make all the statements they want. But I have two questions. Number one, where is the law? And number two, by what authority? And they can answer none of those. Anything that they have done, any fiction they have, anything that they're doing illegally, unconstitutionally, anything, You ask them those two questions, and they have no answers. You need to know the answer. You need to be well versed, because they may BS you if you don't. If you're not well versed in these things, they can BS you. But I'll tell you what: I open up my Constitution, and I don't see any authority for them to do those things. I don't see any authority in here where we, the people, gave them the authority to go ahead and make some decisions like, well, no more quo warrantos, no more writ of mandamuses. You know, in New York, they claim that here too. They claimed that when we were filing papers, we ignored them and went forward, and we showed them the law. And we just kept going. We steamrolled them. We didn't get anywhere, but that's okay. You see, we did really get somewhere. We put the fear of the people into their hearts. We put a stake in their hearts. We put it on the file, and then we moved it into the federal courts eventually, and we're doing the same thing there. They have nothing. They can't respond to us. Their response to us at first is there's going to be great, you know, legal consequences for what you're doing. You better be very careful. You better go talk to a lawyer. And we came back and gave them a black eye, and they did nothing. Then they sent the feds out after us, and they didn't last but an hour because we're the grand jury, and we let them know, hey, look, we're with the common law grand jury. We're the administrators for it, or maybe we're acting at that point as it. And take a look at the paperwork, and they see it. It's clear, you know, what's going on. Yeah.
I want to bring two things up in this statement where they're talking about in the 1940s, these were considered obsolete.
I think it was 39, for some reason.
It might have been 39. We don't care. Yeah, whatever.
I'm not sure. But one of those, 39 or 49.
Well, look, at what they did when they revised the federal rules of procedure, all they did was leave the word presentment out. And when they were asked about, well, what about presentment? Because presentment is kind of specifically what the grand jury gives in to the court, is a presentment where the prosecutor gives in an indictment. They're essentially the same thing, and they can't get rid of it. It's impossible. But what they said is they said it was obsolete. Well, what does obsolete mean? Obsolete is not a legal term. Doesn't mean it's illegal. Doesn't mean you can't use it. I mean, look, if my car is obsolete and I get it and it passes inspection, it goes on the road, I don't give a crap what they think is obsolete. Obsolete is a trick word to trick you into, oh, I can't use that. It's obsolete. People use obsolete stuff all the time. Obsolete is not a legal term. There's no legal consequences to using something that's obsolete, and they can't stop you. It's word magic trickery. So that was in regards to the presentment they call obsolete. As far as the Coruanto go, they would never say the Coruanto is illegal or this or that. They just changed the names, and they called them Article 78s, and they called them something else in order to muck up the works and make that, you know, these were supposed to be extraordinary emergency writs. And what they did is they turned them into something they could drag out for 2 years. And so they have never said that the Coruanto or the mandamus is illegal or obsolete or anything like that. They can't. I mean, matter of fact, they still use mandamuses, and the Coruanto is by what authority? So that, and that's a basic law premise. There's another, you can call it something else, but
yeah, even it's sort of a show cause too.
That's
yeah,
right. It's a
by
show
what authority,
cause. Look,
you know,
that's
it's
right.
Also a command from the king. I mean,
right.
There's numerous
so
things.
They're using,
you know,
this to muddy the waters and make it look like we don't know what they're doing, and they need to say something. And this is Bill Clinton go, what is the meaning of is? That's what all this is.
It's obsolete because none of the lawyers ever use it because they're not taught to use it. They're restrained from using it.
Well,
and very few people coming into the courts that are coming without lawyers, they ignore them anyway. And they always lose. We're marked for the lose. As soon as you walk into a court without a lawyer, get ready to lose because you're going to lose.
Well, I'll tell you what else is obsolete for them is honesty, honor, justice, and mercy is all obsolete terms as far as they're concerned.
That's true.
So we don't really care what they think is obsolete, because we're going to reintroduce it, and it's going to get a new resurgence.
And there's
anyway,
only one way to win, and that is to be bold. Truth,
right.
Bring out the truth and be bold as heck, man. Just be bold. And that's what we want to do. We want to be bold. We want to tell them where it's at, and we want to scratch their eyes every time we can. And so that's what we're going to do, and we're going to continue to do it. They don't have the authority. You know what? Their authority comes from the people. And again, I answer all those questions to those individuals who, you know, who think that they know, and I'm talking about lawyers that make the claim or these people that write these papers and say these things, that thing, the other thing. Well, I've got something for them. I always open my little handbook here and I say, well, it's we the people of the United States of America in order to form this more perfect union. It is us who ordained and established this Constitution for you. Okay, so this was established for the United States of America. Now, my question to them is, this is the only authority by which they can act. You want to know what the legislators can do? It's right here. You want to know what the courts can do? It's right there. You want to know what the administration can do? It's right there. Now, you show me, you tell me where you had the authority in this booklet to do what you want. Now, it is true that there is certain authority that's not covered here that is put over to the states. But our genius founding fathers, and they were genius, particularly the anti-federalist, in my opinion, particularly Jefferson, who I believe was behind this whole thing. You can see his writings in all of this when you get into the Bill of Rights. And you go read that Bill of Rights, and now you got to read this law and all constitutions and everything in light of the Bill of Rights. If it violates anything in this Bill of Rights, it's null and void. And anything you find in the state constitution to the contrary is notwithstanding. It doesn't stand. So the question is where do they get the authority to think that they can call it obsolete? And what then, like Gerard says, what does obsolete mean? What do you mean? Because we haven't used it in a while, it's obsolete. They change the meaning of words. They give it another meaning, and it takes a long period of time before it takes effect. But they don't care even in the legal dictionaries, because people don't normally go and look at the legal dictionaries, you know, Black's Law or Bouvier's. But they've changed it in anything after the fourth edition is suspect hugely. And I don't look at anything in after the fourth edition. I exclusively use the fourth, and sometimes I'll use the second. But there's very little change from the second edition to the fourth edition, and words are what they are. There, it's very powerful. But what they do is they take things out. Fifth edition, pull some U.S. Supreme Court rulings out. Sixth edition, they pull this out. Seventh edition, they pull that out. They're expunging even the meaning of words. They expunge our courts. They expunge our dictionaries. They expunge everything, and everything revolves around them. And that's why, you know, we don't have much time, because we have to do what we got to do. And soon we're going to expunge them. So, anyway, anything else over there? I guess that's it over there. So let's take our first person here. Laura from Washington, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hi. Hi, John. I have a few questions that could be really with short answers. So one is, my partner Michael and I are taking the test, and we didn't actually say that we or sign up as administrators when we took it, and we kind of would like to go back in there and do that, and we contacted support, and they said there isn't any way to do that.
Yeah, there is. A matter of fact, you should be able to go into your personal, what do they call it, profile, and make a change in there. It was supposed to be put in there.
I tried that. I couldn't find it anywhere. And
okay.
Then
give me a call. Give me Gary a call tomorrow. We'll try to deal with that problem.
Have him contact me, John. That's an administrative thing.
Give a call to Gary. He'll deal with it. And, Gary, you might want to get a hold of Brian to take a look in there and make sure that there is a way to flip the button, because they were supposed to have provided that. That was one of my criterias, that people might want to change their mind. They should be able to flip a button. I noticed that a lot of people did not put down how many years of experience in certain places. That's a requirement, and that should have been. Matter of fact, talk to Brian about making sure they can't pass that unless they put in there. Anybody that's got blanks, it's going to be presumed that they got 0 years of experience in the five question areas that we asked. And it doesn't disqualify them from anything. But it does give us a realization of what experience they have, especially when the four get together and they'll say, well, look, this person has more experience in speaking skills. We all need to learn speaking skills. But in the beginning, maybe that person should do the speaking. You know, this person here has more experience in common law. I have very little, except for what I just learned now, and I want to learn more. So when it comes to issues of trying to figure, that person should take the lead. And that's the main purpose of it. We should know what each other's experiences are so we can find our strengths and realize our weaknesses and start to fortify our weaknesses, and we can help to build each other up. You know, if you have a weakness in speaking, maybe the next time we get up, well, once you try speaking, you know, I'll be with you, and if anything goes wrong, I'll take the mic and whatever, however you work things out. But anyway, it is helpful. But we will look into that, and Gary will try to solve it for you tomorrow, hopefully. Okay?
Okay, so yep. So the what you're saying, where it asks for our personal experience, is that another button? Because I don't think I've ever seen that. All I've seen
only if you would have come in and checked the box that you were going to be an administrator.
Okay. So I haven't done that yet. All right. So the other thing is the last week's call, is it archived in the same spot as all the other ones? Because I have friends that can't find last week's archived call.
It should have been put up. Let me go take a quick look. Hang on a minute. Let me just take a quick look on that page. Oh, hold on. Hit the wrong button. While I'm doing that, anything else you want to finalize on?
Yeah,
while I'm...
Michael and I are being interviewed on the radio for the Common Law Grand Jury, and we want the host to interview you, but I don't know how to get a hold of you, because I know you say you're not very available, but I was wondering if actually on the media page, if there could be something, if we have people that want to interview you, if we could...
I am never interviewed. I will not do an interview of me, or I will be there to talk about the grand jury, the process, the procedure, but I'm sure that's what you meant anyway. But anyway, I go on a lot of radio programs. There's one I just recently went on. I haven't even posted it yet. I haven't had time to post it, but I'll get it up there soon. Give the people my contact number, the 233. You got that number? 845-233?
I've called it before.
Right, give them that number. And if you can't, you can try to get me, and then I'll give you my cell phone number to give them. So if they can't get me on the 84233 number, then they can get me on the cell number. But anyone I give my cell number to, I ask them not to call me on that unless it's an absolute emergency and they happen to have it.
Right.
Then, you know. The other
thing is that a lot of these hosts are really busy, and if you don't answer, you know, if you're hard to get a hold of, that's the only problem. So that's what I was thinking, is if she's doing a media page, maybe that would make it easier to have, like, if you have a host.
Right, if you got a hold of Sheila on media, you know, she's been setting me up for some interviews.
Oh, so I could email on that link?
Yeah, but also, you know, you can email me and then copy Sheila, to she can make sure I got it, or email me and copy Gerard, and you know, or even Gary. Gary's email address is gary@nationallibertyalliance.org. Gerard is Gerard@NationalLibertyAlliance.org. Sheila is Sheila@NationalLibertyAlliance.org. And, of course, I'm John@NationalLibertyAlliance.org.
Oh, that's a good idea. Okay.
Okay, yes, I remember last week's I didn't get it up there yet because I wanted to cut out the last 15 or 20 minutes of it. And I'll get it up there. I forgot about it. So I'll get it up there. I'll try to get it up there probably tomorrow or tonight if I got time to edit the last few minutes.
Okay, so... since we're taking the test, one of the things we notice is that it leaves out the Native Americans who are already here, and we actually stole the property from them. So I want to know, as a common law grand jury, when we actually come in and actually start to be able to really move mountains, are we going to restore all the treaties we broke with them?
Well, absolutely. Whatever is here and existing, we have to fix and repair. The Indians are as much people as we are. They can be free and on their own, or they can join forces with we the people. They can do what they want. Look, there's a very special issue out in Hawaii. In Hawaii, the whole thing, everything that went on out there is illegal. But, you know, the people that are native to that land and seeing what we're doing, they're happy to be along with what we're doing. And if they can take control and be Hawaiians and be the people they are and yet be unified with we the people of the other 49 states and remain in the union, that's their business, and we hope that that's the course they'll take. Alaska may have the same kind of thing to some degree. I'm not too sure. We don't have a lot of insight from individuals from Alaska. We have gotten some insight from some natives and people in Hawaii. I spoke with an Indian individual some time ago and thought we would work something out, but they actually wanted to, they were a little radical. They actually wanted certain cities and even large portions of states to be vacated so that they can take over. That's not even possible. But look at, you know, we the people, it is terrible, the sins that were done under the name of we the people. And remember, you know, it wasn't we the people that did this to the Indians and to other people, to the slaves and so on. It was the people who took control of our government that did this. Okay, they were the ones that made the treaties and broke them one after another after another. I know there was an actual firefight, it might have been back in the 60s or the 70s, with the feds against the Indians, and they were actually shooting it out for a while. I don't
know
that.
Wounded knee.
Wounded knee? Okay,
yeah.
But in any event, that this is horrific. And look, we need to try to make peace with them. There's plenty of land out there that is unsettled, that may be a lot better than what they're on. We have national parks, and we may have to give up some areas in national parks to people, or large stretches of land that I don't know what the answer is. I'm just throwing things in the air because I don't have the solution for that, but I think we the people need to sit down and talk with those people and see once what we can do. Maybe mend the fence good enough that they can become one with us. If they want, that's their business. When we the people can actually take control of our nation, you know, we're a very diverse nation. You know, where I live right now, for instance, I live in a very, very conservative town. Across the river from me is New Paul's. It's a college town. It's very, very liberal, extremely liberal. Matter of fact, the mayor over there was marrying homosexuals, and that was when that big move was going on some years back. And they're still doing it, I think. But whatever, it doesn't matter. The point is if I'm not happy in New Paul's because it's too liberal, well, all I have to do is move a town over, actually just across the river, to a conservative town, which I'm kind of happy with in a conservative town. Not, you know, I'm not claiming conservative or liberal. I'm me, and I don't want a label. But, you know, it's a different kind of an attitude, and I'm more happier in a town like that. So that's where I put my stakes, and that's where I'm living. And so people can move and live in communities. They can become part of that community and that and help to shape that community. They can get involved locally in what's going on politically. They can get locally in the schools and actually move the schools towards certain educations that would be much more powerful and better for their children and do these things. You see, we have to shape our government, and that government that we shape, the most important part of that government that we shape is right here in your town, whatever it is that you live in. You need to get involved to shape that community the way you would like it to be shaped. And of course, there's compromise involved there. So all of that put together. So the Indian problem is a big problem, but I don't think it's a problem that cannot be solved. I think it can be solved, but it has to be solved with honor. And apparently they have not been getting honor. And I believe the Indians know, as well as anyone else knows, where the real problem is. It's these people who have robbed our liberty and robbed our control of our government and is making plenty of money out of this and just destroying us. I think they know. And they'll see a whole new attitude once we bring this government back under control and make them do our will and not the will of a few bankers.
Right. So we have an issue in the state of Washington about the gun control initiative that got voted in, and there's big protests down in Olympia. So we're going down on Thursday to hand out common law jury brochures for that. But last month, Sheriff Mack went to that protest, and he said that he was asked by a county, was it in Nevada? Arizona or Nevada or someplace like that, that they're going to make it a constitutional county and they want him to be the sheriff. So he's coming out of retirement to do that. And he asked everybody that was at the protest to go move there. Mm-hmm. And to prove that. But I'm wondering, what I guess I want to know is, did you write that letter to him to straighten out what happened in our name in Colorado?
Well, my letter, well, I'm not going to get involved in that too much. I'm going to just get involved in, you know, who we really are and how he can see who we really are and what we're doing and you know, just talk to him as an individual and write him a good, strong, long letter. I have not completed it yet, no. But it is something going out. I know he's on vacation. I don't know if he went for 2 weeks, but it's been a week now almost. But I'll get it out.
Okay. Anyway, thank you for all you're doing.
Okay, thank you.
All right,
let's take our next caller. Let's see. New York.
Hey,
it's
Lamont. How you doing,
Lamont?
Lamont.
How you doing, Lamont?
How's it going?
Good. Good job.
I don't have a question. I'm just calling to say Happy New Year because
thanks.
I've been on the previous call, and you guys are doing a terrific job, and continue with the good work.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I have no questions. Okay.
Okay, thanks, Lamont. Mike from Pennsylvania, go right ahead.
Yes, John, this is regarding the Eric Gardner. The presentment that was sent out over a month ago.
Yep.
What's the progress on it, sir, John?
I'm not at liberty to speak about that at the moment, but I think maybe next week I might be able to. There's interesting things happening with that. I don't know whether we're going to be able to bring it to a head within a week or 2 weeks, but until we do that, I don't want to comment on it. So you could try me next week, and if you don't get an answer next week, I think by the following week you'll have an answer. You know?
Okay. Well, I'm trying to think what else I'm going to say.
Let me put it this way. There is huge, huge movements on that. How it's going to end up, I don't know, but there is huge movements on that. There is communications from the leadership here. With National Liberty Alliance on behalf, of course, through and by in the name of Unified New York Common Law Grand Jury. And so there is a direct communications and things are going in ways that we didn't think about and didn't dream about, but it's happening in certain ways that is, I think it could end up being extremely powerful. Of course, we don't ever know how things are going to end up. None of us know the future, but we're seeing things happening big, big time on that.
Yes,
and if it happens the way we are trying to frame it out, it may be the very straw that breaks the camel's back. But that's the best
that's
I can tell you for right now.
Okay, well, I'll talk to you next week or just
sounds
I'll
good.
Just listen to you.
Appreciate
okay,
it.
Take care. God bless.
Definitely, when it happens, we will be blowing the trumpet on that. Okay, so there's no doubt about that. If something happens before next week that we can talk about, then we will be talking about it. But I think 2 weeks is the worst case scenario, I kind of think, anyway. Okay?
You wait?
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Carl from Wisconsin. Go right ahead. You got the mic. Carl from Wisconsin. One more time, call from Wisconsin, 715 number, ending in 2123. Call from Wisconsin. Going once, going twice for call from Wisconsin. Eric from New York. Go right ahead. Is that the Eric?
In there from before, John.
Well,
yeah.
Let's make sure it's not a different Eric.
No, it's just me. No, that was your fault, not mine. I'm good.
Get off my phone, Eric. All right. Stephen from South Carolina.
Yeah, hi, John. I got a problem in South Carolina that the South Carolina Constitution is in conflict with the federal Constitution.
Well, then, which one is null and void?
The South Carolina Constitution.
There you go. Case rested. You know, here in New York...
Should I notify the legislature that they've put a text in the South Carolina Constitution that is unconstitutional?
No, they already know that. They don't care. What is it, though? Can you tell us? Can you give us just an idea what it is?
Yeah, what they did was Section 11 is the same thing as Amendment 5 in the U.S. Constitution. What they did was they have another exception in there, and it says, in other words, no person shall be held to answer for any crime, and then the exception is the jurisdiction over which is not within magistrate court. So in other words, if it's the jurisdiction is in magistrate court, they don't have to give you a presentment or an indictment.
Well, of course, that's null and void. Yeah, that's null and void. And if you were ever held to that in those courts, you just have to make a federal case out of it. And here's an extremely important point for anybody who goes into the courts. I made this mistake myself. We made these mistakes for a long time until we hit ourselves on the head and say, what, are we dumb or something? What's wrong with us? Okay. Look, if you're in a court that has a case that has no jurisdiction, you file a federal case. You make a federal case out of it. You turn it into conspiracy because it takes a judge and another lawyer to bring you into a foreign court without your approval. You deny their approval, they take you in anyway. So now that's a conspiracy because those are two people acting together to kidnap you on the highway and to bring you into subjection, in other words, kidnap you and bring you into a prison and imprison you, even though it's not necessarily you're in literally in prison, but you are imprisoned in the jurisdiction. So that's a federal offense. That becomes a Fifth Amendment issue. And so when you go to a federal court, you don't bring anything from that case over. You don't move that case over. You just let that dead dog lie where it is, and you go into the federal courts and you file the paperwork for a Fifth Amendment violation. That's what you do. That gives the jurisdiction to the federal government. You're not looking at the details and the specifics of that case, which the feds will tell you, you know, federal court will tell you, work it out down there first and we'll see how it turns out. Or they'll just try to find a way, and they'll get 1,000 ways they can reject your case. That's where we all made our mistakes. The point is that case doesn't have any right to be heard to begin with, and that's the key on that. So you do a federal case on it and you deal with it there. That's just a principle of dealing in law. We all made that mistake. I know I've made it anyway. Until I realized what am I missing? You know, we're so blind to so many things because we've been trained so much by these people. so that's how you deal with that. But you're not going to be able to correct that until you get into power and authority. And guess what? You're going to make sure you find a case when you're in power and authority. Or whoever the four people are in that county that take the administrative process, you make a phone call to them and say, hey, look, this judge over here is running a case and they haven't even been heard by the grand jury. Okay, oh, really? Where's that? And believe me, we go right to that courthouse, we'll take the sheriff with us, and we'll sit in the room and wait for him to get his gablet up there and put on his little robes and get out there, and we'll demand his arrest right there and then. And then we'll talk to him after we remove him from office, because if he hasn't straightened out by then, he's never going to be straightened out.
They're allowing it in their own constitution, though.
Yeah, but we'll arrest them when we get into power and authority. Anything in the constitutions to the contrary is null and void. Let me read that. That's Article 6 of the Constitution,
yeah,
and it says... I'll read it anyway for edification. This Constitution...
Okay.
And the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuant thereof, in other words, any legal constitutional law made under the Constitution, those laws, and, of course, all the treaties, the legal treaties that were made, of which shall be made, under the authority of the United States, all that together, shall be the supreme law of the land. And the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the Constitution of the laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding. It cannot stand. Now, this is very interesting because, the question that should be asked is, how come the magistrates aren't mentioned in there? That's the question. And it's interesting that they have turned this whole thing upside down and they've given magistrates powers of judges. Because, you see, in a court of law, a judge wears two caps. Okay, two hats. If he's in a court of law, he's a magistrate. He's not a judge. If he's in an equity court, he's a judge. He's not a magistrate. Well, he may be both, but he's a judge. And why does it say to the judges that, why is it focusing on the judges? Because the equity courts have to also run under this Constitution. That's why. And if you're in a court of law, the magistrate is making no decisions whatsoever. None. Zero. Zilch. They're just keeping order and keeping things flowing in the court. That's it. They make no decisions. Only the jury makes the decision. And you know what? The Constitution doesn't bind down the people. You see, they left them open. The jury can do whatever they please, as long as they don't violate the unalienable rights of another in their decision. They can do whatever they please. If they want to put a person to death, and that's what they decide, and it's unanimous, that person's going to death. If they want to give a person a year or 100 years, then that's what the person's getting. And when they go to jail for 100 years, well, let's say the jury gives them 30 years in jail or 20 years in jail. Oh, they get out on good behavior, 16 years? Nope. The jury didn't say that. The jury said 20 years, and that's what they're going to get. You see, that's the final word, and that's the power and the authority of the people. And that's why Article 6 was written that way. Okay, and of course, the rest of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, protects everybody's rights, and that's even above the jury. If the jury violates someone's unalienable rights, believe me, that jury is going to be and righteously and rightfully be overturned, and probably even that jury, if it did it on purpose, that's a jury that has turned evil and has to be removed, and another grand jury could do that, But anyway.
Okay, so do you think I can use? I'm trying to write a post-conviction relief, and do you think I could use the Sixth Amendment to say that the section of 11 in the South Carolina Constitution is unconstitutional?
Well, if you want to write something up and send a copy to Gerard and me, maybe one of us will be able to comment on it. Maybe
okay.
That's the best way, and then we can give you some thoughts and ideas in that way. But send it to both Gerard and me, because if I can't get to it, then maybe Gerard can get to it.
Okay.
Right?
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you, John.
Thank you. Good day.
Hey,
good day.
John.
Yeah.
I got a couple of questions from over on the other thing. I didn't realize that they had questions. I just want to bring these up really quick. Some of these I can answer.
Yeah, if you can answer them, go ahead.
Yeah, wait a minute. Let me get back to that window. It was. Hang on. I'm sorry, Annie. Oh, who's the official? Who's in Colorado? What person? What's the name of the person who's the state coordinator now?
Gary.
I'm sorry, Gary.
No, I'm asking Gary to pipe in.
Yes,
oh,
in Colorado, we have Lori Lunnan.
Lori,
she's
that's right.
She was one of the original state coordinators that was in disagreement with what was going on. And we also have Nancy Johnson, and we have currently David Kofelt.
Okay. Thank you very much. That answers that question. The other
and
one
they're all up on the state page, aren't they, under state coordinators up there, right?
They are.
Maybe some of them are co-coordinators, and they may not show up. But
No, they are. They are state coordinators.
All
I don't
three
have
of them. Okay, and they're all up there.
Okay, so if you go on the site, you can look them up. You get their numbers or contact information. So that's
yeah, right under contacts,
on the site.
State coordinators, and you get the phone numbers.
Somebody else wants to know if anything from Judge Prudente on her memo of September 26th not to accept any filing from such groups. No, we don't expect to hear anything. As a matter of fact, she's even gotten worse. She's pulled paperwork out of other people's private cases that she knew was connected to us. and expunged her paperwork. She's done some other crimes since then. We don't expect to ever hear anything from her, except for, you know, she's going to be indicted at some point. So
she's already
really
been indicted. It's a matter of applying it, and I want to tell you.
I mean, arraigned. I'm sorry.
Depending on what happens down at a couple of callers ago, we had the person asking about what was going on with Eric Gardner. Okay, and we can't answer that question at this moment. And believe me, depending on how things go with this case in the next couple of weeks, we may then be able to have these judges arrested. But again, until that kind of a move happens, which what we're working on with the Gardner case, that's going to be really our leverage in New York, at least. And it will be on a federal level in both cases.
So right.
That's all I have to say about that.
And there's two other questions here that I think I need a little more information on before I can answer them. This guy, Jeep234, how do we move in the courts with 42 approved administrators? I'm not sure what he's talking about. How do we move in the courts
with 42 approved administrators? Remember, they're not all in the same county. And what we need is four administrators in every county. So if you have 100 counties, obviously you need 400 administrators. And in some counties, because of population, you may need more. You may need 6 or 5 or 7. I don't know.
People have
to figure that out once they get there. But yeah, the 42 administrators they're talking about within that state, they're all in different counties. And if you're an administrator, you have a visual on all of the other administrators and what states and what counties, and you can make the count, and that's probably what they did. But go to see what counties they're in. You'll find that it's very rare that we have any counties that have filled all four positions. So people who want to take those positions need to connect right away and get into those positions. It's first come, first served.
Right.
You know, we're not doing this. You know, we're not doing this by experience, because it's people experience, and we're all on the job training anyway. So it's the people who get in first, and then get through the course first. They got first dibs on that position as a job. But bear in mind, if your county is all full, and you're willing to travel to the county next door, you don't have to live in that county to be an administrator to work in the other county. You don't have to live there. And, you know, in some cases, and some people, they may live like across the bridge or just across the border, which is closer to the courthouse in the county next door anyway, and they'd prefer working in that county because it's shorter to get to work than going traveling across the county to get into the courthouse on the other side. So it's whatever people want to do.
Okay, and the last question, so you can get back in the queue, and this is from Aaron 350. Question for John: does that apply to the Terry Trussell case? I'm not sure what he's talking about, but what I do
Terry
want to
Trussell
say about
Terry Trussell case, Dad, you tell Dad.
Well, I want to say is really we had no input in that case, really, for all intents and purposes. We tried; they didn't listen to us. They had some other group fill out his paperwork. When John looked at that paperwork, he said, do not send it. He'll end up in jail, which he did. And, you know, our advice was to take it to federal court. They're still in the state court. We don't know what they're doing. We've had to disconnect from that case because, obviously, we can't help somebody if we don't know what they're doing. So, you know, and it's just like the NLA. Look, you can't have one guy going to the right and the other guy going to the left. This is a case. Everybody has to know whatever. Everybody has to be on the same page. And we weren't. They were doing other stuff. They weren't telling us. And so we said, look, we're out of here because that case will affect the National Liberty Alliance. I mean, we were going in as the unified common law grand jury. We pulled that. We are not attached to it in any way, shape, or form. I mean, if he wanted to come back and ask our help, we might consider that. But, you know, once you make – it's much harder to clean up after you make a mess than if you don't make it to begin with. So, you know.
Yeah, I think if he did come and ask us, I don't think we would consider – I think we would do it. But we can still –
No, I'm just saying it just mucks up the works, and now you got to go back. Yeah, okay.
One of the problems, even the paperwork – look, at when we sent in the writ of habeas corpus, they even screwed that up. We were very specific. The papers were written. They were not to be changed. We told them, don't change the papers. This is the way it goes. We gave them step-by-step instructions. We literally wrote it down, literally to taking your vehicle and driving to here and dropping it to here and making you sure you serve it there and how to do it. And they screwed all of that up, all of it, okay? And all of the paperwork that we were involved with in the beginning, they manipulated or discarded. And we have no control over that. We're not going to get involved in a case that's just going to be lost. It's a mess. Now, we did speak directly with Terry. Look, I'm going to tell you, Terry's going to jail for a long time, probably the rest of his life. He's 70 years old or 72. How old is Terry?
I think 72.
But Terry is 72 years old. He's going to die in prison, and there's no reason for that. We know we can get him. But I'll tell you what, once we get in power, we will rescue Terry. We will rescue him because that whole thing, debacle, was a wrongdoing. And because he took the wrong advice, that doesn't make him a wrongdoer. He just didn't have enough knowledge to make the decision. He didn't know us well enough to know that we, you know, where our honor was and what we were actually doing. And he was fed all that man on the land crap he went to jail because his paperwork was wrong, and they said, we're putting this guy in jail. We're going to play his game. He wants to play his game, we'll play his game. And the judge got up and called the name, or called the name of the person, and Terry says, I'm right here. And the judge says, I don't see him. Where is he in the courtroom? He's not here. And Terry says, no, I'm here, okay? And he still ignored him, and he did this three times. Why? Because he pulled the stupidity of the man on the land. He wouldn't go past the railing and all that stuff. Look it. Pay no mind to any of that. It's all criminal stuff. If he would have got up and walked up there and said, yes, Your Honor, I'm here, and sat at the table, he wouldn't have been arrested that day. Okay? And he spent, 12 days in jail or 15 days in jail or something until we got him out. And they waited till the last minute to let this guy out. They actually went a few days over. And they screwed up the paperwork anyway. And now he's facing 15, 14 or 13, I think 14 charges. These 14 charges are going to put him to jail for a long time. And at his age, in the jails, the way they set him up, they're not very comfortable. Okay, I don't think he's going to last very long. And it's all a shame. We did speak with him. We told him that we're still willing to work with him, but it's our way. Or you do what you want, because we're not going to mix BS with the facts and the truth. But he's got bad counseling down there. They convinced him, and he's still going that route, and we'll see where it goes. But we will get him out of jail once we get in power authority. We will talk to the people in Florida to do a habeas corpus on him. We'll help him write that habeas corpus, and they can release him right there. When they pull him before the grand jury, they can set him loose. Let him loose, jailer. He's going. They're walking. That's the power and authority we have over this, because it was an unrighteous thing from day one. Everything they're doing to this guy, it's criminal. So, but anyway.
All right, I'm done. You can go ahead and move to the next caller, which is, I think it's Johnny B.
Okay, Johnny B., go right ahead. You got the mic.
Hey, evening, guys.
How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I've got a series of issues here. On the Bill of Exchange, I don't know if you're aware of Tellinger out of South Africa. He started the Ubuntu movement in South Africa.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Okay, they're moving into the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Ubuntu, and they are moving with the BOEs. Just point of order.
Right.
Which, like I said, it may work if you dot your I's and cross your T's and everything. I'm not saying it's not going
to
work.
Yeah, it has nothing to do
with us. I'm just saying that that's not what we're doing, and we can't defend it because we have to educate ourselves on that. We don't even know anything about it.
That's not true. That's not totally true. We do know something about it. I know enough to stay away from it because, they're using fiction, okay,
right.
to take down fiction. You know, how do you do, two wrongs don't make a right. You have to take right and take down evil. And that's that. What they're doing is they're taking and wresting debt and filing them or against their SESQ accounts and getting, simply they're getting money for it. They're getting more debt from it because they're getting cash, which is debt. The good thing at this point in time, debt can be exchanged into gold and silver. They don't like you doing that, but you can do that. And so then it can really become real money. But that's not what we're doing. And certainly the grand juries cannot have anything to do with it because they have no right doing those things. There is something else, but we're not going to talk about, but that's on a huge level in the future. But we don't have the right as people to go chase judges, put liens on them, to do all these things. We can demand their oath of office. And if they refuse their demand, the demand for showing us their oath of office, then we can do a paper on dishonor and remove them from office. And unfortunately, they're not going to obey that. So we can do the filing if it's necessary, but I don't know. I'd rather do filings focusing in on things that really are leveraging ourselves to get closer and closer. And once the tripwire is pulled, in other words, once we get into office, all of those indictments that we filed, just a chain reaction, all the way down, arrests are going to be made. All the way down, right down to Prudente. They're going to be arrested. We're going to order the sheriff to go out there. Unfortunately, down in New York City, there is no sheriff. We're going to have to talk. There's no sheriff even in Westchester County. We'll probably have to come up into Putnam County and Rockland County and command the sheriffs from there to go down and arrest this guy because we want a proper legal arrest by a true law enforcement individual, and that is the sheriff. And there is no elected sheriff down there, so it poses a little bit of a problem. But they're going to be arrested. That's going to be a tripwire. So all of the indictments we have done, and I think we've done 20 of them, roughly. I'm not even sure how many we've done. I know we've got 8 judges down in New York City we indicted. We indicted 3 or 4 up this way, a couple of clerks. We indicted the police officer down there in Staten Island. Is there anyone else we indicted, do you recall, Gerard? There may have been 1 or 2 others.
There were some John Does in there.
Yeah, so John Does. Okay, so yeah, we have maybe about 20 people who have been indicted. Trust me, the day we walk into the courts with authority, I'm going to be on the phone to sheriffs. We're going to write papers. We're going to get the courts to move to seal them up, and we'll get the sheriffs, and all of those people are going to be arrested. They are going to jail.
Okay.
But we're not going to do any sesq stuff. When those people are arrested, we'll seize all of their property, okay? Because they have some restitution to be made, don't they? And so all their property will be seized until the ending of the court, the trial. When the trial comes to an end, the jury will know that properties have been seized in the amount of this, that, or the other thing. What do you want to do with that? Do we turn it over to the family of this judge? Or is it used for restitution? Or is it used to put into a kitty of restitution on behalf of the people for all of the evil that all of these judges have done? I'm sure they're not going to give it to the families. It's all evilly, all the money was taken and created and purchased all these things with evil, exercising evil. So certainly I'm sure the jury's, that's their decision, or not ours. I'm certain they're not going to give it back to them. And so that's a proper, lawful, that's due process. That's taken away from them in due process, in a court of law, in a righteous way, for restitution, and that's the end of that tune. But to go and lien these judges, to do commercial liens on them, to go out and to do papers on to secure debt, let me see if I can word this correctly, to go and do bills of exchanges and then deliver them to the bank for payment on the commercial, where is that coming from? All that is weakening the Federal Reserve more, and when you weaken the Federal Reserve more, you're weakening the American people. So who's paying for that? The taxpayer is paying for that after all anyway. And the people were being destroyed by this whole system, so there's no way. There's no righteous way to be able to use that system in order to fix the problem. It only works worse, and you're doing as much evil as they're doing, whether you know it or not. And a lot of them don't know that they're doing evil. It's all wrongdoing. We cannot get involved with it, and it has no place with the grand juries whatsoever. trial jury has power of taking their property and doing what they please with it after a court of law process.
I got a definition here of a bill of exchange through the Bill of Exchange Act of 1909, Section 8.
Yeah,
just real quick, interesting. It says, a bill of exchange is an unconditional order in writing addressed by one person, and person's highlighted, to another, signed by the person giving it, requiring the person to whom which it is addressed to pay on demand or a fixed or determinable future time a sum of certain in money, or to be the order of a specified person to the bearer. Now they're using person and bearer and person, and that's all commercial language.
Any SESQ connection to that?
I don't know, but isn't person a corporation according to
their fiction? Yeah, I mean, in my world,
in 1909, they might have been talking. I don't know, but that does. I think that brings it into a commercial venue. But, I mean, that whole sentence there is enough to make me steer away from that. You know, it seems like it has too many twists. An instrument which does not comply with these conditions or which orders may act to be done in addition to the payment of money is not a bill of exchange. So if you don't write it right, it doesn't end up being right. I mean, you have to be real careful with this stuff.
You know,
I just...
on top of that, either we're chasing money or we're chasing justice. I say chase justice.
Right.
And that's
right.
Where we stay focused. I don't care about the money. There will be money that will be on the table to pay restitution, because when these people go to jail, and they're going to jail for RICO and numerous other things, which means everything they own must be seized. Their bank accounts must be seized. Their boats, their summer homes, their estates, everything is seized until the end of that trial. And at the end of that trial, since it's RICO, because it's all RICO, as soon as you talk about all this commercial stuff, it has become RICO on steroids. Now, once that happens, now the trial jury has got to decide what to do with that money. And we'll give them the options. We will tell them that certain options they have, you know, maybe there'll be no recognized injured party. The injured party might be the people at large, and therefore we'll let them know that they do have the authority to take this money and put it into an account for the people at large. And at some point, you know, people who have to be restored in some fashion or something by all of these judges and stuff, you know, there is a fund there that assists these people in some way for some of the damages. There's no way, there's not enough money in the world to restore the damages of all the people that they've damaged. It's just not enough money. But we shouldn't be seeking too much damages as much as we should be seeking justice and the return of liberty to America. That's what we really should be seeking.
Well, the main thing we want is them out of there. Out of that seat, for one. We don't want them there. We want good people there. That's our main goal. I mean, restitution is a sidebar, but I just want to bring one more thing up with this bill thing. They're attaching it to the fact that these people took oaths and didn't honor their oaths. Well, what I've discovered out there is that many, many, many of them don't have oaths, or they have the wrong oath. So if you're going to attach this bill of exchange to an oath, I think you're going to be sorely disappointed, because they're operating with no oaths. Now that brings in a whole different, you know, thing. If there's no oath, how are you going to attach a bill for them not honoring their oath when they never took an oath to begin with? I know, at least over here in my county, look at how many people did we find with no oaths on file or didn't take an oath or anything else. So you're not going to hold them to their oaths if they didn't take an oath. How can you charge them for violating an oath that they never took? And I think you're going to find an awful lot of that out there. And I think we beat this subject up enough. I think we should move on. Anyway.
Right. Absolutely. You guys are mixing apples and oranges. You need to listen to the whole conversation.
Yes, which I did not. I did not.
Right, yeah.
So you're talking about the audio that we have?
Yes.
Yeah, I've only listened to 14 minutes.
Yeah, and like I said, I might have jumped to some conclusions.
Yeah,
but
all I say is it doesn't have any business with our plan, so it needs to be separate. And right now it is separate from our plan. By the action we took, and they're doing it on their own, and they're welcome to it. God bless them. I hope that they can succeed in getting justice, but I just don't see how they're going to be able to exchange that to justice.
Right.
So I don't know.
I'm on a stand. to my knowledge, Kansas has not put forward any paperwork on anything. I've never heard the word go yet, and I'm going to stand on that.
I don't understand.
Outside of the mailing. The mailing is a whole other issue.
Right.
Well,
yeah, I don't understand what you said.
I'll come back to that. That's further down on my list, John. The Lakota Dakota Nation commandeered 3 tons of information on the treaties of this nation.
That's Indian stuff?
Federal government stomped all over. Yes, sir.
Okay.
They
have
their original document in hand. So there will be an opportunity. I just wanted to open that door. I put a note into tech support on the fundraiser. Is there any way we could get the fundraiser numbers posted on the fundraiser page?
Yeah, well, I haven't. Look, at a lot of people haven't responded to that yet. I don't have enough input coming into me yet. So that we've got maybe, I don't know, 3 states, maybe 4 possibly, that have responded so far. The rest of the states have not responded with their paperwork. I haven't seen it. We haven't been able to chart it in. But it is something that I will get up. I just got to find the time, maybe this week, to sit down, and I'll get someone to go out and get all the numbers, and we'll start putting the numbers up on the page. And then I'll maybe get my son or somebody, or maybe I'll have to do it, to sit down and just record what numbers have come in. And eventually we'll get the rest of the numbers, and somebody might do something in the past, and when we get the paperwork, we'll take care of that then. But we'll try to get it straightened out as soon as we can. I will try to get the numbers up quick, because that can be done without, even if we don't have the papers in. But if someone calls me and says, well, it looks like I got a number on that, and so on and so forth, and the numbers didn't come into me yet, you know, what can I do? I got to wait. So I think we probably jumped on this too late. We shouldn't have went forward with such short period of time, probably. It was right before Christmas. I wish we had a month before Christmas to really initiate this. We did have some blowback on it. People thought it was gambling. It's not gambling. Look, you have a chance to get something, but the whole thing is really built around a donation. That's the thing. You're giving to a good cause. And I want to tell you something. There was one state, 20 numbers were taken, and every single one of them didn't have a return address, and they just put National Liberty Alliance. So if they want any funds off that, they wanted it to return back to National Liberty Alliance. And that's how you answer something that you feel is gambling and you're concerned about. Well, if you turned it around, you're not gambling, are you? You're giving $20 for the cause, and then you're saying, and if anything comes up on a number of me, I don't want the money. Just let it stay back into National Liberty Alliance. So that was a way for someone to get out of dealing with gambling. I wish I would have thought of that when I was talking with people, and I appreciate those people who did that. So that's good.
Well, I like Mary's description with the door prize. You know, if you go to a function and they're offering door prizes, does that qualify as gambling?
Right.
Absolutely. Another thing, John.
But I'm going to try to get that straightened out as best I can before next Monday. That's on my list right now of things to do. But go ahead.
On the press contact for the media page, if we could just get somebody to contact on the media page. I know we've got all of our interviews, which is a real good place to point the media. Just go in and listen to some of our interviews. They could copy-paste some of that stuff out of there.
Right.
And do their own kind of interview.
You know, yeah, they go to the press. They got everything that they could possibly, they're going to get from me. It was on that page anyway. They're not going to get any more than that. I used to have a phone number up there. And I used to have an email up there, which was, press contact. And people would find that page, and they'd send me all kinds of stuff on it. So it just didn't work out well on that. But we probably should do something. Maybe I'll talk with Sheila. Maybe Sheila should handle that just as an in-between. You know, she won't answer any questions or anything, but she'll be the in-between and say, okay, look, I'll have someone get back to you at this and blah, blah, blah. I'll talk to Sheila. Maybe she'll handle that because she's handling, the press campaign.
Okay. Now, would you speak for a moment on the mailings and the postmaster letters?
Yeah, we are working on a letter. I was talking with Gary about this. We're way behind on it, but we're working on a letter for the Postmaster General. We were trying to get a grip on that, and I think we concluded that there's only one Postmaster General. Is that true, Gary? Not one Postmaster General per state, but one Postmaster General, period? Is that where our conclusion was? We have to deal with that person. If there's one for every state, then we're going to have to deal with that. As far as regular postmasters, we have to go through the process with the paper that we have up there. The state coordinator should send that paper out to the individual with a seal and a signature as an administrator, okay, informing that person and letting them know right behind this, the mail is being reinserted into the mail, send it through, and then if they return back with it again, then we should handle it from our end and deal with the Postmaster General in order to straighten that person out. So that's kind of going to be the way, but we have to get the letter out to the Postmaster General, which has not been written yet, but we have notes on what we're going to do with that. That's about it.
I think your baby needs some attention there, John.
Well, we do, but we have... Oh, no, that's
your dog.
A little dog. We have a Doberman and a tiny dog, and it's a real odd couple.
Sure. Okay. Well, about the only thing I've got left here, John, is a difficult subject. But now we're just kind of following along with the sister states, and we were reaching out to join in on some of the other state calls that were going on. So we need a way to get our NLA membership numbers, their state call numbers, organized where we can find them readily. I know the
Yeah, we got to be careful because if we don't have our state work done, you know, we shouldn't be doing in other states. But states should work with other states. If you're a state coordinator of one state and you get together with a state coordinator of another state and you say, hey, look, why don't we have our meetings together? We're close by. We're alike in a lot of ways, blah, 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 blah. And you both agree, then you do it. Maybe you share the call. Now, we do in the last national meeting for the administrators, for the district coordinators, they were supposed to, and they should have done it by now. If they haven't done it, then, Gary, we have to address this tomorrow, then, if they haven't done this yet. They should be talking with the states that they're working with. Each district coordinator may have 3 or 4 or 5 states, whatever it is. And for the next 6 weeks, those 3 or 4 states should be working together as one. We suggested numerous things. They can figure it out themselves what they want to do. We suggested that the district coordinator get an HD number and run the room under one room, and they can give the access, administrative access, to one state coordinator for each state where they can come in into the panel. But then, you know, each state would take a turn running the meeting, if that's what they want to do. They can take a turn running the meeting this week and have control of the panel. Then the next week they can pass it on to someone in another state where they can control the meeting and control the panel and just rotate it like that. But we want states close by to each other working together for the next 6 weeks. So that the weaker states can be encouraged by the stronger states, and the stronger states can give more out to the weaker states. And weaker states are usually states that don't have the high volume of membership, or the people that are in the membership that are carrying the load maybe are on low income and they have a problem with that. By pulling a few states together, strong and weak, that should help a bit. And we have something else that we're not talking about yet. I was talking with Gary about talking about it tonight. He says there's to wait off, so we'll wait till next week, which will help everybody financially in this thing if we can work it out. And I thought we had it worked out, but he says there's a glitch in it. So until we get the glitch out, we're not going to talk about it. But it's going to make all of this so much more easier and affordable. But we'll talk about that hopefully next Monday.
Oh, that would be great. I'm still.
Oh, it'll be
on the
huge. It'll be
the,
so huge.
Revenue sharing, John.
The relief.
I've still got
the
guy in my back pocket ready to go.
Right. Look at the financial relief in this plan is huge. All of a sudden, the financial relief is going to be, instead of sending, well, I'm not going to get into it. I can't. It's just going to be huge if we can pull this off.
Okay. The only other issue I've got is communications and words being inserted into communications, so I think that'll wait for tomorrow night's call.
Okay.
And I yield my time. Thanks a lot,
Thank
John.
You. All right. Okay, we'll take our next caller. Let's see, it's 352-443. Can you give us your first name and your state?
Yeah, it's Doug in Florida.
Doug in Florida. Gerard or someone, if you can put Doug in Florida for that number. Go ahead, Doug.
Okay. excuse me. I've been going on the web page and reading the papers you produced, and I've been doing my own legal work for like 20 years or better. And I'm finding, like in the memo to the sheriffs, there's a citation in there to case law. And there's a quote extensively from that case. And yet I found an error in it. And I post this to the web forum. And whoever's moderating it, I don't want to get into names, but I'm accused of playing games. I'm accused of being a troll simply because I find
it. Yeah, well,
send me
an email on that correction, giving me the direct link. Just send it to John at nationallibertyalliance.org. Copy Gerard at National. No, copy Gerard too, but also copy Gary, because one of us can get in there and fix that. If there's an error, we'll see what we can find on that. Just give us what do you think the error is, and give us the exact location of it, and we'll look into it.
Okay. Appreciate it.
All right.
Have a good evening.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that call. Thank you. We're not flawless, by the way, and I'm sure you know that, so. Okay.
I said that was it, but I mean, if you're presenting these papers to people who should know the law, if you've got errors in your citation quotes, I mean, you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Well, absolutely. I agree. And believe me, we have a lot of writing out there, huge amounts of writing. We not just write court papers. You know, we write papers for the website. We've written a book. We've written books on court access. We wrote the grand jurist book. And we got so much overload, and there's so few people doing this and working on this, and sometimes things go out without being triple-checked, and it gets out there. It is what it is. And sometimes you trust a resource, and you cut and paste, and you use it. And we did have a guy that was looking up. We had a lot of cases that we've been working over the years, and we had a guy that wanted to verify each one, so he took on the job of verifying each of the court cases. He came up with quite a few that he couldn't validate, and I told him, well, probably you can probably find it in Black's Law, because a lot of the court cases we got is directly out of Black's Law, and particularly 4th edition. So I sent him to the 4th edition, and he went there, and he was able to validate all of them. So at least up to that point, he hasn't been with us for a while. He got lost in life problems, but hopefully he'll resurface again. But he did do a lot of work for us on that. And so we did validate huge numbers of cases that we've been using. So one slips through or I think that's pretty good, because we are hugely heavy on footnotes. So we give authorities all over the place, and a lot of our authorities are U.S. Decisions, and errors are possible. So.
Well,
we're
going to
fix it, believe me.
Yeah, but what disturbs me is not that, you know, the error is there, but certainly that needs to be corrected.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that I'm getting such vitriol off the forum, because apparently I have the audacity to question.
Yeah, I don't know why. I can't.
You know, a citation.
I can't answer that. I don't know why. I can't control people, and sometimes people get excited quickly, and sometimes they're a little too more protective or overprotective. And but look at
that's
you,
also
you found
not
an error, and we're going to fix it. So
listen,
I think
that doesn't come from the moderator necessarily, although the moderator could pipe in and calm it down. You got anybody answering you, and right away people, you know, it's almost like they can become overprotective in a certain sense. You know what I mean? But
well,
look at
so
we.
Well, there may not even
being
be a moderator in a certain area he's talking about, because I don't even know where what platform are you talking about? Where are you talking? Just in general?
This was one in the media on the sheriffs. The note or letter to the sheriffs.
Letter to the sheriff.
Yeah.
So
oh,
he
okay.
went.
And entire my entire posts are being deleted. So it's got to be someone in the administrative end.
Okay, so you're looking at groups, and you're looking at the media campaign group, and there's a problem in there. Okay, look, I'll look into it.
To be honest, when I use the website, I go to the latest postings to the right-hand side of the page.
Right.
And whatever the latest posting is, I click on it, and it takes me to the subforum.
Right, right.
You know, so I don't really consciously look at where it may be actually be
okay,
setting.
Okay, so that's a different thing. That those we have... You know, each state has their own posting. Each group, we have 50 states, and each state is a group, so there's 50 postings there. Then there's postings on a lot of pages that are on main pages where people make comments. Then there is the postings that take place in the we have two other groups other than the state groups. We have the media group, and we have the courtroom observers group. So we have 52 groups plus the national, so that's 53 groups. So when you see those recent comments on the right side and you click on them, you got to look to see where you've been navigated to, because you could be in a state forum or you could be in any kind of forum. And, you know, look, there's no way that obviously that we on the upper end can control all of those conversations. And there's a lot of good conversations, and sometimes there's bad conversations. And hopefully we can correct some of the problems. If there's a problem with a statement as far as a quoting of a decision, a court case decision, you give me the direct location, and I'll get out there and look at it, and if it's true, we'll fix it.
But that's something that probably would be better to come to us than put it on the form, because you look at why... That's something that needs to go right away to get fixed, and anybody on the forum can't do that. That has to go through this person and that person to get to Gary or John, who can go in there and actually fix that. So really,
are all the forums open to have discussions in?
Every forum, every state has a forum. Every state, and
yeah,
it's
no,
a state court.
I wouldn't try to, say, communicate with New York's or something such as that on what they're doing locally, because I'm just not involved in it.
Right.
But, you know, when you're talking in general concepts and the U.S. Constitution, I wouldn't think that it mattered where it's sat. It's
That's
a discussion
right.
that needs to be had.
And we would never, ever tell you not to do that. We welcome that. I mean, look at...
Well, I've been...
We learn. That's how we learn, too. Look, we're never done learning. But, I mean, that might have been a mistake of a bad quote, but we want to hear about it. It needs to come to us because, like you said, you could fall down on that stuff. You know? I mean, look, nobody's worse than some of the lawyers that I've been through making... misquoting, you know, case law, and then we go in and we find out it was nothing that they said, and I don't want to lower our standards by saying, well, you know, they do it, we can do it. That's what my kids do. Guy next door is doing it, so I can. That doesn't make it right. No, if we got a mistake, we will definitely correct it, and we're not going to ever give you any trouble about that. Look, you know, two heads are better than one, and something like that that you picked up and we missed, you know, we expect everybody to do that, you know, if you know something. But it might be better to email John or myself or Gary on something like that. At least you're getting it up to where it needs to go to get corrected.
If it's a misquote on a paper, you definitely have to get to us on the upper level, on the national level. So.
All right.
I don't want to be
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah,
all right.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Thank you. All right. Okay. Why don't you take it from here, Gerard? Next caller.
Let's see. Oh, it's Jersey
Jason. I'm going to mute myself and get water and sit back and listen for a while.
Okay. Go ahead, Jason. You're unmuted.
Hey, Jason from Jersey. How you doing, Gerard?
Good.
Thank you so much I thought when I looked on the letter, the just reflect back on one of our speakers. I thought the postmaster letter was already posted, and that was what we were using. Was that the state state postmaster? My understanding.
Yeah, that was to the we were going to carbon copy the postmaster general with those, but that was generally for the whoever returned it. When you find out who returned it, you're supposed to send that to them, and it should say CC Postmaster General. But, you know, John's going to make a more specific letter, you know, directly to the postmaster on some of this stuff, because he's the boss, you know.
Yeah. I just received, I sent out the Quanto to the sheriffs with the sheriff's notification. Out of the 21 counties, 3 came back. 1 came back, the address was not known. And 2 just said send back to a sender, and it didn't say why, nor did it have a real official stamping of where it was stamped out from. So basically, this is like as much as we're being rogue, they're being rogueless, because again,
I think what you do need to do in that case is you need to go to the postmaster where you mailed it and say, look, this came back. Why? Who sent it back? Can you find out?
Yeah.
You know, you do a little investigation on it like that. I mean, I don't know what else you would do. Like you said, they didn't stamp it. And, I would put it back in and say, look, this needs to go because we know it's proper. And if it's not going to go, I need to know who's returning it. Is it you or is it the guy on the other end?
Meryl. Yeah. All right. Good. Another thing, just an update on the winter Quantos. I did communicate.
Hang on, I just want to jump in on that last item you were talking about. One of the things you could do also, if it's only 2, and if you don't mind spending the $3 for each one of them, send it back out, certified return slip, or at least return slip. At least you know you want a signature on it. And then you'll see who's rejected it. If they rejected it, you'll know exactly that the sheriff rejected it or whatever. But it's going to cost you $3 to do that. But the key thing is this. Bear in mind, no matter what you do and whatever you think, we have sheriffs that are evil. We have a couple here in New York. They just don't want to look at anything. They don't care about nothing, and that's it. You're going to have them in every state, and that's okay. We'll weed them out later.
Aren't they supposed to stamp that return by addressee?
Yeah, you would think they would. I just don't know why they didn't.
Yeah. Anyway,
I've gotten a lot back, you know, the Washington, D.C., and some of them.
Yeah, we expected those, yep.
Yeah. But I'm being sending out the stuff. Now,
the Washington, D.C. returns are mostly, they're all probably media. As we've been checking, when people say, I got a lot of returns, every one of them has been media, and that's because they don't actually receive mail there. We all got them back. So those that we got back is the media in Washington. It is what it is. You know, you can pull the papers out and send them to someone else because you just throw the envelope away and use the papers that's already printed out. We'll keep them pass them to other people.
Right. So. That's good. And the other thing, John, just update with the widow Quanto.
I'm walking away from the computer. Gerard's going to take it. Okay?
I did communicate with individuals who are doing that. I did pay for what I received. I was $75. I put in $48. I'm missing like 18 letters. Full compliment. I did my due diligence. I spoke to everyone. I'm just that the Trenton, New Jersey never received any of their paperwork necessary because you never had the copies mailed to me on that section. This whatever can be done. I mean, I know I paid my I did what I had to do. Again, if we're doing contract law, you only pay for what you get, and that's on that point. Just to give a rundown to the folks, I did go into court. I did tell him that I wanted to have a trial by jury. He gave me a New York federal district point, and I just know with the supremacy clause that if it's a lower court, it can't address it unless it's the Supreme Court. So it's going to be a lot of fun addressing these guys. Also, the judge who was supposed to sign off on getting the cameras into the court denied it with no reason, to my knowledge, and I'm just going to have to do a writ of error and get that in, because like my next appearance will be February the 3rd, Tuesday, and I do want to get a call out to Eric for doing a great job. Unfortunately, it snowed on that Friday, and I did have one person show up in, from New Jersey, and I want to thank him, Terrence, in Passaic County, for him to show up. I also got a convert because the guy was in court. His brother was driving a car without a license, on a suspended license. He had to get in there, so I did give him the information to look into us if he's on the line. Mohammed, thank you very much for your support. I got 3 affidavits, myself and 2 others. But again, I did send, I'll send that out to you, the affidavit that we use, the general, everything from 18241 up to 42 areas of violations. But I'll send that on to you, Gerard, so you have it for your records. Mm-hmm. But as it stands, you know, we're, New Jersey's with you guys all the way, and, you know, whatever happens, I'd like to things to happen faster, but, you know, I would say to my children, they'd say, why don't you go faster? Dad? I said, you know, unfortunately, son, I can only go as fast as the car in front of me.
Right. Well, that's good. At least you're out there beating the pavement, and that's well, and that's good. Well, so, got anything else in pertaining to
our
work?
No, that's about it. All right. This is supremacy clause, and working out with, I was listening. I was listening to Shake and Wake Radio just before I went on from 2 to 4 on Mondays and Fridays just today, and they were talking about all of these different things that I've used in my court case. The judge ruled on having a trial by jury. He said, no, that's not going to work, or having a meeting, and there was something else. But anyway, he wouldn't rule for me, of course. Why would a judge rule in any favor that would destroy his foundation of greed and corruption? So I yield the floor. Thank you very much, Gerard, John, and everyone else on National Alliance. Keep the power up. Remember, if you don't stand up for something, you're going to fall for anything. Don't let them crush it. Thank you.
Okay.
God bless.
Thank you, Jason. Okay, our next phone is Pennsylvania Don.
Hey, Gerard, how you doing?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering if you've been aware of the mass movement of gold out of the country.
Well, I've been hearing about that, and, you know, I also hear that, you know, Russia and China have been building up their gold reserves in anticipation of our dollar crashing to cover their move to this basket of currencies that's going to end up strangling
us. I'm talking about the bonds that are being issued by the New York Reserve, and they're moving 25,000 metric tons on one certificate. They're issuing certificates of gold redemption by the Federal Reserve.
Oh, I think it's all baloney, because I don't think they have any gold left. They've been fractionalizing the gold. They've written paper gold bonds that they're never going to be able to cover. Those are the things that are going to really hang us when it comes time to collect that supposed gold that they're writing on paper. You know, what they've done is they've taken the gold and they fractionalized it just like they did with the dollar. And when that bird comes home to roost, we're going to be in big trouble. You know, those are the things that wars are fought over, and that's very scary what they're doing. They're just a bunch of kamikaze pilots or something. You know what I mean? They're going to crash the plane right into the ship. That's what they want to do.
Yeah.
So I don't get what they're doing as far as that goes. I mean, look, if things are so bad now, I don't know. You know, I think it's kind of a free-for-all out there. They know the end is near. So they're all grabbing what they can, you know?
No, what can we do to stop it so we're not left with a bankrupt America?
We're already bankrupt, but you know what? It is not as bad as you think it is to fix, because most of it was fraud. Most of what's owed wasn't there to begin with, so it's very easy to write that stuff off. As a matter of fact, we had a very good video today that I passed to John. Maybe we can put it on the site, and he talks exactly about how we have to fix this country from the ground up, you know, and why our politicians have been bought and paid for, basically, you know, and what we're supposed to do about it. And according to this fellow who was an ex-CIA, you know, operative in that, and they worked for the government, he says, look, you have to do this on a local level, because the federal government, they're done anyway. They're done now, and they know it. And so we need to attack this locally. And he had a pretty good plan for bringing it up locally. And he says, you know, go on your local radio stations and do your local blogging and all that stuff. And he's of the opinion that America will stand as long as the people get together in their counties and communities and start addressing this. Because most of the stuff that was done on the top end, we can fix that, you know. He also said in there that, you know, there was a movement between Newt Gingrich and a couple of the Republicans to buy every elected office in America, including the school boards, and they figured they had to spend $300 million a year, which they did, and that's exactly what they did. So they have control over all those people, and it's up to us to get all those people out of office, every one of them. So, you know, and, you know, look, we can, the common law grand jury, if we get in the courts, we could fix it right away, because we'll just indict all of them. But the main thing, like I said before, is we need to get them out of there. They've been bought and paid for. You know, Gordon Duff told in Syria, he said, look, the United States Congress is nothing but a mob. They've been bought and paid for. They allowed them to take money from sources that aren't told to lock up the votes, and that was last year. So they're done. You know, well, you might today, have two or three of them that are any good.
Well, today Obama really denounced America when he said that Muslims is definitely part of America. I mean, everybody knows he's a Muslim. He's an illegitimate leader. Why can't we get him out of there? He's doing so much damage to this country. If he stays in there any longer, it's going to be irreparable.
Well, I don't know if it's irreparable. It's just a matter of how long, you know, how deep does the repair have to go. And look, he could be whatever he wants to be. I don't care what he says about Muslims or this one or that one. But they got to stick to the Constitution. That's the point.
Yeah, you know, but he's dividing America.
Oh, yeah, well, look, what does he want? He wants the bottom up to bring the top down. He wants revolution. I don't care. He doesn't care how he gets it, whether it's jihad or putting a bunch of illegal immigrants on the dole and then taking the dole away to get them to riot. Their main thing is to destabilize, and that's what he's working on. And listen, it's nothing to do with him, because he's just doing what he's told to do. Because believe me, he's a puppet, just like George Bush was a puppet. They're all puppets. And really, it's the central banks we're talking about, and that's what we need to get rid of. And that's what's and they're going to go down. I believe they are going to go down. I think they're
down now.
Yeah, they're down now, and they've served their purpose, and it's really starting to get out about, you know, all this, you know, who's who and what's what. So I think you're going to see some changes here very shortly, you know, and that's also going to help us to get into the courts, because, you know, as more and more people understand the plight we're in, they're going to be more and more apt to take the common sense solutions, which we are one of them. But, you know, there's some other solutions out there. There's other things that are being done. Some of the stuff we don't even know about, but they're suffering the death of a thousand cuts right now, I happen to believe. And I agree. And I think you're going to see results from that, because, look, we're godly and we're doing the right thing. And I was raised, you know, the guys with the white hat always win in the end. And I'm banking on that. So, any rate,
I'm banking my life on it.
That's all I got to say about that.
Okay.
So, thank you. Got anything else, Don?
I did have something else, but I
distracted you, right?
Yeah, you distract me. So now, that's all. Here's what I wanted to say is, no matter what happens, America, we have to stick together. Don't go rioting like they've done in other cases.
Right.
We have to stick together.
That
we are Americans.
Yes.
America is all one color. We
just
are Americans.
Don, just remember something, Don. I'm going to give you something to go away with. The people that are trying to take us down, they're not Americans, and they have no idea what's in our heart. They have no idea what you grew up with and what I grew up with. They don't understand this idea of liberty that they sold us, and I don't care if it was a fraud when they sold it to us. We believe it, and that's where they
can't. That's why they can't win.
That's right. Look at you got.
They're
we got all these red diaper babies. These communist raised people that were put here to subvert us. But what they're not counting on is what's in our hearts, and that's going to be something that they can't measure, and
they don't know.
They have no idea. So
all right,
anyway,
stay safe, bro.
Thank you very much.
All right,
okay.
Thank you.
Have a good night. Thanks for
you,
calling.
You sir.
Yeah.
Bye bye.
Yeah. Next call 303. I don't have a name there. Give me your name and a state with the 3233 on the end.
Hi, this is Carrie Moore. Can you hear me?
Carrie Moore. What state are you in, Carrie?
It's Terry with the Tango Echo.
Oh, Terry. I'm sorry.
It's fine.
what state are you calling?
I'm in Colorado.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Okay, and I was just getting started. I asked the question, and you answered it, that Lori is one of the main people, so now I know which side to jump on and...
Right.
And establish a connection with. So thank you very much for doing that.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just getting started and learning and getting somewhere. And this is all very nice. And I had another question set up. And just like the last caller, I'm listening to what you're saying, and I get off somewhere else. So thank you very much, and I'll yield back to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry. Have a good night. Thanks for calling. I think I screwed up and hit the wrong button there. Oh, my goodness. Hang on.
Yeah, anybody that was in the queue needs to get back into the queue because I guess they accidentally hit the cutoff
button. The wrong button.
Anybody has a question, get into the queue. You got one in there already. Dave
from
California.
I'm gonna go ahead and take Dave.
Be careful now.
Yeah.
Let's hit the next question.
I don't know how I did that. I didn't even think I was close to it, but nevertheless, it happened. Mm-hmm. Okay, California Dave, go ahead.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, well, your misplaced button was my good luck, so thank you.
Sorry, yeah. I won't say
all
sorry.
Right, so,
sorry, everybody else. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, out here in California, you guys have maybe already aware of this, but there's an organization called the California State Sheriff's Association. On their website, all of the directors and board of directors and executives or leaders of the organization are all various county sheriffs in California. So obviously these guys would be the movers and shakers for the rest of the 58 county sheriffs in California. So my point is there may be state sheriff organizations in multiple states, and any of the sheriffs who are leaders of those organizations would probably be the centers of influence and the movers and shakers. So I'm taking it upon myself to add the chief operations person for the California State Sheriff's Association to our sequence of mailings and get a little top-down dripping from their trade group. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that's an excellent idea because that's even what Sheriff Mack does, you know. He goes into a place and he finds out where the sheriff's associations are, and that's who he communicates with because that puts him, you know, in contact with them on a statewide venue. And that's a good idea. If you can, if you know that there's a state organization of sheriffs, you certainly can send those mailings. And
I think every state does have a sheriff's association, and they usually elect the president every year for that association or whatever term limit they decide to do that for. New York had it, and it was Putnam County, I think, was, and he was a good guy, I heard. But when we found out, we connected too late with him. He was
disconnected.
There was another guy coming in. Well, I think he's still in office, but someone else took up the presidency for the association. And I don't know whether we ever followed up on that. But every state should look into the association, Sheriff's Association for their state. You can probably just Google it. And then go in and look to see who the president is. And that is the sheriff you want to make contact with. Because if you can turn that sheriff, he may even give us access to come talk to the association when they meet once a year. And that is exactly what Sheriff Mack does. He tries to get into the state associations and go get some time to speak to the sheriffs as a whole throughout the whole state. So we should try to do the same thing, even if we don't get in to speak to them. Just to get that president on our side, it's a huge influence on all the other sheriffs.
I agree.
The other part of that is they have the website for the sheriff's organization has kind of like a booster's page, where if you pay a certain amount of money, you get to join an elite group of corporate and or individual and or organizational supporters that's because of your support and membership in this inner group of supporters. They claim on their website that you have kind of like closer access to them, and they, you know, you kind of elevated a few notches in their book of respect, and it might just be a way to grease the wheel. So that's another tool to perhaps accelerate this ramping up process to the sheriffs as a group.
Right. Also, you know, if you can get a hold of this person and they're willing to accept it, you know, if there's 60 sheriffs or 50 or 100, whatever the number of sheriffs in your state, if you get, let's say there's 50 sheriffs, and if you can get to the president and ask him, well, look, you know, at your next meeting, I'd like to share with you a constitutional book and I'd like to share with you a jurist handbook. And once you take a look at that, I'd like to follow up with you on this, to see once if maybe we can send you 50 or so or whatever it is, the number of sheriffs, so that at your next meeting you can get these out to the sheriffs. Because it would be a lot more clout if at a sheriff's association meeting the president passes out a copy of the Constitution and a copy of the jurist handbook, which is also a sheriff's handbook. And and you don't have to push it anymore, because in that booklet, in the jurist handbook on the back, you know, it's accredited to National Liberty Alliance, and our website is there, so they can make contact with us, and they can get more information, and maybe go out to the website to see once more what's going on as far as information is concerned, and maybe we'll get some sheriffs to join National Liberty Alliance.
Okay, thank you. Last point. Sorry if I missed this, but is the next sheriff letter ready to go? We're not talking about the duty, but is there another one that's ready to go now?
No, there's way too many states behind yet, so we want to do this in unison. But we do have a new plan, which we'll talk about maybe next
week,
Monday.
Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
We'll see. You know,
I was
going to talk about it tonight, but I heard that there's a glitch in it. Until we take care of the glitch, we shouldn't talk about it. So,
okay,
but it's
in
the meantime, you know, just go make sure all the rest of the stuff is out. Is all the Quarawantos out? Is the sheriff's duty also out to the, you can send them out to all of the people, you know, as far as law enforcement is concerned, get them to the sheriffs, get them to the marshals, get them to the FBI. You know, there's one FBI agent in every federal district that is the, I forget what they call him, the chief guy. There's one marshal for every federal district, so you get it out to, you know, if you got three federal districts in your state, you can get one to each of those. You also can get them out to, we're going to get a list of other groups of people. Like, you can get it out to the Joint Chief of Staff also, because to some degree, you know, they need to know this anyway. And you can let anyone you want, but those particularly, the marshals, the sheriffs, and the FBI.
Okay, that's good. Thank you. I'm done.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Okay, let's go to the next guy. It's Carl from Wisconsin. You have the mic. Go ahead.
Hello. Can you guys hear me now?
Yes, we can. Oh, you were the guy that we couldn't hear before. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a...
Well, we did good. We got back to you. That's something. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, hey, listen, John, I talked to Sheriff Richard Mack just before the Colorado meeting on a personal basis, and he does want to talk with you and see if, you know, we can pull all this together. I think he kind of understands that we need to work together. He does seem to have lacking in some knowledge regarding the common law grand jury. You know, there's some things he doesn't quite understand, I think, from my conversation.
Right. One of the things I want to do, and if you do you have contact with him now still?
I do. I'm kind of connected with him for years. I was on the Constitutional Sheriff's Posse for years.
All right, so this is what we're going to do. I'm working on a letter to Sheriff Mack right now as we speak.
Okay.
Hopefully I'll get it out in the next few days. You know, he's been away for at least a week. I don't know whether he's away a week or 2 weeks, but whatever. He's been away.
Yeah.
So I got a letter, and it's going to be a lengthy letter. I was going to do an email. I was going to do it numerous different ways, and I said, no, let's do a letter. Let me do a letter because, look, a letter's personal, and he, you know, he's got to listen because he either reads it or he doesn't. And he's got to read it. Then he's got his option to write me a letter, and that'd be good. And then after that, then we meet. You see, now we know we have something to talk about. He knows what I'm thinking, what we're doing, what our plan is. And also, I'm going to show him first and foremost the county sheriff by what authority. And it's
right.
Going to soup him up because there's a lot more authority and powers that he doesn't realize yet, okay?
Yeah, and,
at least I believe he doesn't realize. I know Sheriff Mack for a while. I've been listening to him for a while. I've watched all of his videos. I've met him along the trail here in New York numerous times, bumped into him, talked, got along with him great. You know, he hates this John Durash character, but he doesn't know who I am, that I am the guy that he's talking about. He just doesn't remember or doesn't know.
Okay.
We had him out here in 2010. We paid for his hotel room. We had breakfast with him. We had good conversations, and gave his speeches, great speeches. So, again, he's got me confused with someone else, but we're going to straighten that out. And once I get that letter out, by what authority, the other thing is by what authority We the People Act. And you see,
right.
So there's two. Now when he reads both of those, he's going to be completely informed, and then we're ready to have a conversation.
Right. Okay, one of my other groups is also working from the Ninth and Tenth Amendments angle, and it's impossible for our group to work without the common law grand jury side of this thing and the sheriff's side of this thing. So... we need to pull all these things together, John. Sheriff Richard Mack wants to talk to you. I think you mentioned something about he might be conflicting you with another guy. There is something in his mind that he's thinking of that he thinks he met you before and he thought that you weren't honorable. Me personally,
right. Look at that was out at the Sheriff's Association. There was a guy, I'll give you his first name, his name is Tom. And he was trying to do what we were doing, but he was doing it dishonorably, in my opinion. He was cutting corners. And look, I don't know that he was doing it dishonorable, but he was dishonorable because he lied. He lied to me. He told me that he had all these sheriffs. He had 400 sheriffs, and he was going to speak to these sheriffs. And it turned out to be a sheriff's meeting, and he happened to go out there. And I don't even know if he was even registered to speak as a speaker. But things went very bad out there. And Sheriff Mack particularly, you know, cut off and everything. And then there was a time period, and I think he connected me with this guy because he was doing grand jury on a national level, okay? And he was just getting 25 people across the entire nation to do what he thinks he could do, which you're not going to get anywhere with that. And so there's a bad taste in his mouth, and I believe he connects to me with this guy. By the way, this guy, I told him he was going to go to jail, if he continued this way, and he'd be real careful, and right now he's in jail.
Okay. Well, I tell you, I really think that Sheriff Richard Mack is interested in talking to you. I think he wants to make amends, I believe. I don't understand what he has in his mind about, I think he's, like you said, I think he's messed up with that other guy. And then that Bruce guy wasn't doing you any favors either. I don't fully understand what Bruce's deal was, but whatever it was, it that didn't help either. The thing of it is, I talked to Mac, for a while, and I believe that we can pull this whole thing together. I think I really do, and so I just would encourage you to go ahead with your plan and make sure you write in that letter that you want to also talk to him on the phone, after he gets a chance to digest it or something.
Absolutely. At his convenience, maybe Gerard, myself, maybe Gary, or just a few people on our end, and anybody he wants to bring in, just to get in a conversation, which could go an hour, it could go 3 hours. We should do it at a time in an evening, what's convenient, that we can spend time if we end up spending time. And just to go through things. And look at, the bottom line, he's got to come to a certain realization. I'm already at that realization that he may not agree with everything. I'm good with that. I haven't met a person yet in this world that agrees with everything I say. So I don't think Sheriff Mack is going to. So as long as he agrees that we're not going to agree on everything, we have to agree on the principles. He's got powers and authorities. We support them. He's got to understand our power and authority. He's got to support them. And let's go forward.
Sounds good. Well, very good. Awesome. I am going to let you go with that. I just wanted to let you know about our conversation, and I'm glad that you're looking at it from the same angle there.
All right. I appreciate it. And call in next Monday, see where I'm at with this.
Awesome. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay. Thank you, Carl. Appreciate it. Okay. Next question is California. It looks like Vivian. I don't have my glasses on.
Yes, it is.
There you go, Vivian. How you doing, Vivian? What's up?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I have a question, a little bit unusual, though. What would a person that has been naturalized American through marriage use as a birth certificate for legal documents?
That's a good question. I don't pretend to know the answer. I know that when you're naturalized through marriage, you might have to use your birth certificate of country and then show your marriage, your marriage documents that you've been married. I don't know what the common law answer is to that, or even the statutory. I mean, look, if you're naturalized by marriage, it's assumed, and you have to prove that marriage. I had a sister-in-law that came from Indonesia, and she was naturalized by marriage. And after she was here, I don't know, probably 15 years or more, she did go through the naturalization process where they actually gave her citizenship. So even though...
Give me that. I have that. Can I use that in lieu of a birth certificate?
Well, I think you can use that, but you may still have to... apply your birth certificate. I mean, I don't know what you're using it for. It probably depends on the agency, because they get real terrible about what they want statutorily. So, look at your birth certificate. Are they using that to prove your citizenship? And so if your birth certificate is out of the country, if anything, it would disprove your citizenship. You know what I mean? I don't know. I would ask, what are you trying to do? Are you talking like a motor vehicle thing or something different? Because they should tell you. They should have a procedure for that.
If I want to defend myself as a natural born human breathing and alive,
On that, you don't need any ID. You need just a pulse and the ability to go into that, whether wheelchair or walk into that courtroom, and you got a pulse. You're a human being. You have all the unalienable rights that God has given every single human being on this planet. And that's what the Americans really have to come to realize. Unalienable rights belong to everyone, and everyone deserves that, whether they're in this country for a day or for life. When they come into our court system, they have all the rights and the authorities as any other person as far as their unalienable rights are concerned. So you don't need a certificate for that or any paperwork or anything.
Because
I've never shown them IDs. I've never shown them an ID. I've never... I just go in and fill out the paperwork, and there's no ID. They never asked me for an ID.
Well, you know, I've heard people in conversations where they were talking about foreigners that come over here and commit crimes, especially quote-unquote these guys who are supposedly terrorists. They'll say, oh, they shouldn't have any of our constitutional protections. Well, first of all, we don't get rights from the Constitution. The Constitution will protect those rights, but they don't come from there. We believe all men are created equal. So when you get somebody that commits a crime here, we offer them all the things that any citizen, I'll use the word citizen, I don't care, that's what you are. Any human being, right, because it's an unalienable right. It doesn't matter where you were born. Look, you're on our soil. We're going to come. We do that because we do it for everybody, because that's what America's about.
Because God gave it to them, and we can't even remove it.
We don't have the authority to say that he doesn't get a trial by jury. He doesn't get to use his Fifth Amendment right not to incriminate himself. He gets all of that. See, these are people who've been dumbed down in school that thinks that we can pick and choose who we give those rights to. What they're saying is, when they say that he shouldn't have the protections under the Constitution that we get, what they're saying is that our system of justice is not capable of operating in that particular instance and coming up with justice. That's a lie. Look, if he gets a 12-person jury of people over here, I mean, what's he going to argue? They're not his peers, you know what I mean? If he gets that jury, he has as much chance as anybody else. And if that was the case, we'd never been able to convict anybody. If we need to waterboard them or not give them a Fifth Amendment right not to incriminate themselves. Look, if they have enough evidence on him, he shouldn't need to incriminate himself. They should have enough evidence that comes forward to the grand jury and the juries to convict him. And if they don't, guess what? He walks, and who cares what nationality he is? And really, even if we knew he was a bad guy and they just didn't get enough evidence, we can't go ahead and crucify that guy, because what we're doing is we're crucifying ourselves. What we're doing is ruining our own rights. The minute they deny one person's unalienable rights, they deny mine, they deny yours. So like John says, you don't need to show anything. There's no litmus test, you know, nothing. You don't have to be part of a group or anything. It's an unalienable right, and that's why it's called that, because it doesn't come from men. It comes from God. And, you know, they're not
flesh
God.
And flesh and pumping blood is your proof, period.
Right. So, you got anything else? I hope we helped you anyway.
I was explaining that this retired judge wrote an article or a letter in which he says, when you go to court, if you are indicted for some reason, you bring with you your birth certificate, and you say that you are the trustee of this birth certificate. This is not you. Because
he's going to get you in trouble. Don't even go there. Just stay under common law and jurisdiction. That's all.
About the straw man, and look at they'll turn you around in places that you don't even know where they're taking you. Before you know it, you're in a jurisdiction where you don't want to be, and next thing you know, they will violate your unalienable rights because you'll have given them permission to without even realizing it. You know.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't Judge Dale, was it?
No, I think so, yeah.
Judge Dale. Let me tell you, I read Judge Dale's book, and he started off okay, but that whole thing is a setup from day one. The guy does understand what's going on, and he's giving people wrong information, and he knows it. He's doing what they want him to do. They want people to do what he says, because they're going to get you.
Okay, but because his thing, whatever he wrote, is very exciting. I'm dying to send you this one.
Well, I know what he says. What he's saying is true, okay? But
yeah.
What he's saying is get into the fiction and participate in the fiction and use the fiction to beat them. And I'm telling you that once you give them the authority, they're going to walk all over you, and they're going to get from you whatever it is that they want. They're going to put you in jail or get a fine on you. Whatever it is that they're seeking on you, they're going to get it. You're not going to win. And because look at how do you fight evil with evil? How do you fight fiction with fiction? Why don't we fight fiction with truth? Fiction is a fraud, and we shouldn't use a fraud for any purpose to do anything. We should just call it for what it is, as a fraud. I don't deal with fiction. I don't deal with fraud. And they only get one chance to repent, or you move it someplace else. And that's a whole other story. But the way that Judge Dale sets it up is not a way to go. I'm telling you right now. Most of these websites up there, it's filled with nothing but poison. It sounds good. We fell for it ourselves.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, we've looked and we've researched. We've been in the courts. We see what goes on, and we see the game they're playing. Why play with fire? Why play with fraud? Call it for what it is. It's darkness. Light has no part with it.
So Judge Dale is a real person, and he...
Judge Dale may or may not be a real person, but nevertheless, I believe this is the judges getting stuff out to the people. It's my opinion. They want you to follow the right kind of poison so that you're going to lose. And I want to tell you something. You know, we don't have outright wins in court per se, because you won't see them filed anywhere. When you're thrown out of a court, when they want you in their court and they want to beat you up and we're thrown out of their court, that's the win. You're not going to get a win on paper. It's just not going to happen. But I'll tell you right now, all these people teaching all this BS, if you really press for the issue, they don't have no wins. There may be one here and one there that they've got, but believe me, it's all BS. It's not true. People are going to jail left and right following their stuff. Because first of all, they're not qualified with the knowledge to even take it down their system. You better get every I dotted and every T crossed, because if you don't, they're going to take you down. And that's one of the things they fail to tell you. So people go in with this bad information, and they're unable to follow through with it. The judge is going to steamroll you right over you. He doesn't care what you say. I've seen it all day long. They steamroll over everybody. They don't care.
Yeah,
so be careful.
It was very, very exciting, though. I was thrilled. Beyond thrilled when I read
So was Eve when she bit the apple. No.
Yeah, I think, I guess.
You know, they're dangling
candy
in front of you.
I really fell for it, big time.
Yeah. And don't forget, they let certain people win under the right situations, but I don't know, most of the time when people win, I don't think they win without lawyers, because that's a big problem for them.
He's totally against lawyers. He says as soon as you appear with a lawyer, you have lost your right.
I want to know how many people actually won using his methodology there, because what he's saying and what the judges are doing are two different things. You know what I mean? He's saying, do this, this, that.
After that, you got to move on. It's past midnight. We got two more.
Yeah,
calls.
We got to get. Okay. I think we beat that to death, so I'm going to go ahead if that's okay.
Okay. And, good night. Thank you very much for answering my question.
Good talking to you again, Vivian. Yeah.
Thanks. Bye.
We have New York Walt. Walt from New York. Your mic is open. We probably made him go to sleep. 0160, Walt from New York. He's not there. I'm going to mute him back up, and I'm going to take Hawaii Paul. Go ahead, Hawaii
Aloha.
Paul. Aloha.
Okay. So I was riding the bus home from Kona today, and I got cut off of the call about three times. But I heard enough to know that things are moving in the right direction. Just a heads up, Hawaii, the Kingdom Movement is becoming very strong. They've already issued some documents to the International Court with regards to the war crimes. So the land situation over here, too, is a real big topic. They were going to attempt to build a, three to 30 story telescope on Mauna Kea on the island that I live on. But that has been stopped, but they're trying to start up again. So there's a lot of activity going on over here, and it's beginning to heat up. So you should hear more from Hawaii with regards to the Kingdom versus the United States in the international court arena.
Well, that's good, because Any kind of relief or victory you get can only help us.
Yeah.
Because it brings to the people's mind, look, there's a fraud over there. Well, guess what? There's a fraud everywhere. And Hawaii bringing it forward in the way that they are and the fact that they're still under that military rule, you know, that really does help our situation. Because it makes it easier for people over here to understand if they see Hawaii first. You know what I mean? I think it's a great way to get the toe in the door, so to speak, because some people are so unbelievable and so oblivious to what we're talking about. And my goodness, if Hawaii can break through on that particular thing, it makes our job a lot easier, you know, and vice versa, because look, should one of us break through first, we can definitely, you can use that as a precedent to help Hawaii.
Absolutely. So here's the next thing that's going on here is that we have a new governor, and now he's appointed a new person, a director that's heading up our public security, in which the sheriff, you know, is third on the rung in that organization, and I try to find out. Last week, if the sheriff is still going to be in office, and I've gotten no answer, but I'll find out tomorrow. So there's a lot of changes that are going on here.
Is he elected, Paul?
No.
He's not?
No, he's appointed. He's appointed. The director of public safety is appointed by the governor. The sheriff apparently is appointed by the director of public safety. Okay, so, you know, it's the chain of command.
Sounds like New York City, Paul. Okay.
Yeah, it may be.
That's
going
kind of
over,
what they do, yeah.
Yeah, I mentioned to you guys at the last meeting that I was going to go over to the first day of the assembly of the legislature, which I will be doing on the 21st. And I will be handing out the writ of quo warranto to all of those, as well as hopefully to the governor and his staff. And I hope that I have enough days planned over there that I can have an interview with the sheriff and perhaps even with his boss, the director of public safety, so
right.
I can try to figure out what's going on and how they're going to deal with this issue of Hawaii sovereignty.
Right. Well, keep us abreast. We're certainly interested in anything that's going on. Anything we can help, we
you
certainly
guys
will.
Keep up the good work. Thank you so much. Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you, Paul. I'm just going to try to open up New York Walt one more time because he didn't answer. So we got a couple of seconds here. New York Walt, if you're there, speak now or forever hold your peace, because it's time to close the call out. We'll give you 5 minutes for something if you have it. But I don't know. I think he's snoring maybe. So I think.
All right. With that, I think we'll bring
close.
The call to an end.
Yeah.
Okay. Appreciate everyone coming.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming. Lord bless you all, and Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. And don't forget for all of the state coordinators and district coordinators, we have a meeting tomorrow evening. I don't know if Gary, I haven't sent out a notice. I'll see if Gary to get send one out, or I'll send one out. But we're going to have one, whether you get a notice or not. Same place, same time. Good night, everybody.
Okay. Good night. Goodbye. Godspeed.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Gerard.
Okay, thanks,
Thank
Rick.
You.
Yeah, give us a lead-out song here.